much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All by myself, don't wanna be all by myself anymore. Hard to be sure, sometimes it's hard.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
How old are you?
7.
What do you think of No Cussing Week?
Bullshit, man.
This is not a party atmosphere at all.
You are not reacting at all as I'd hoped.
I want to know where to go. I want to go. Give me the go. I want to go.
I only pay for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
I love euphemisms. By euphemism, I mean when you say something, it means something else.
Could you make me want to give you hepatitis? Hepatitis. STD. Here is me.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
There we go. All right. Good sound. Good sound.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Just like the other.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Listen.
It's our time to shine.
Listen,
I can't believe it.
Roll.
Roll another one.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
Just like the other one.
Well, hell, sign me up for that.
This one seems to be about.
Hang on tight, spider monkey.
I don't have another cent.
I love Gage-ish, but I drink a little.
I drink your milkshake.
But don't bogart that joint.
You can never let it show on your face.
Just pass it around.
I'm in a boner.
And now,
hey, listen, anytime you want me to come on and say something, just you know, and if you want to say on the air, I've been on the phone with David Hasselhoff all night, the Hoff loves to rock.
Our feature presentation.
That's Love, featuring Arthur Lee, lead singer of Love. And he didn't write that. Burt Bacharach wrote that song, but Arthur Lee wrote most all the songs that Love did. Anyway, that was My Little Red Book by Arthur Lee, and that was the song
that
Jim Morrison heard on the radio and goes, we gotta sound like that.
Right.
And in fact, it was Arthur Lee that actually booked the Doors to open for them when Love headlined the Whiskey a Go Go.
What happened when Rodney lost his teeth? At what point did that? Really? And he hasn't for a while, right?
I don't know. But I would like an audiobook of Rodney off the top of his head, not reading, but just like he's doing here, explaining the history of rock.
Me
I would
too.
Like him to go through every single band and every single thing that ever happened in rock and just have him just sit down in a room and just record the whole thing.
Just
I'd never stop listening
it.
To it.
He would never do it for us because, you know, rightfully, he hates us.
But
yeah.
That's right.
It would be awesome.
Up the Doors to Elektra Records and got them signed. What can I say? Maybe the people will be the times between Clark and Hilldale. That's the street off Sunset Boulevard where the Whiskey a Go Go is.
Right,
was.
Uh-huh.
It's still there, but
right.
Not the same.
No.
But I remember one time I had David Cassidy from the Partridge Family and Bobby Gillespie of Primal Scream on my show, and we got a phone call from Arthur Lee.
No!
He called in, and we spoke to him, and Bobby Gillespie was on acid. He was on kind of on LSD.
Kind of.
And it blew Bobby Gillespie's mind, basically, because that was his idol, Arthur Lee. When I was a kid, I was in the 4-H club, and I raised pigeons, and had these like classic pigeons, and so did Arthur Lee. He collected pigeons as well. He raised them, and
we
talked about all these
twins.
Like, really rare pigeons. They had these like they're called Russian fantail pigeons. They look like little tiny miniature turkeys, but they were pigeons.
Mm.
And Arthur had those too. And we talked about the old days, and we talked about how I was addicted to Diet Right Cola and sunflower seeds when I first came to Hollywood as a kid. So
sunflower
anyway,
seeds, by the way, can be the hardest to break. I mean, really, that kind of rehab is brutal.
Yeah, I used to be addicted to sunflower seeds. I know what that's like.
You can
like.
Die from withdrawals.
Yeah, you really
that.
Can. You need medical supervision.
It's very rough.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
Well, nothing's happening that tops Rodney. I'll tell you that. It's going to be a sad day when he dies. Although maybe he already has. We just don't know it.
It could be.
All right. Do I have time to tell my story, or do we need to move on immediately? This is a great story. This is Preston Hill is his name. Young man is 17 years old. The beginning of the school session in Clovis, New Mexico. At the beginning of the school season this year, he was suspended. And now he's been expelled. They had a hearing Wednesday night. He has been expelled. And now he's even facing charges of sexual battery, by the way. Now he's going to be in front of an actual Superior Court judge and may have to go to trial for sexual battery. What do you suppose it was this young man did?
Sexual battery.
He performed the wrestling move that we love so much. Oh, what's the name of the wrestling
move? The rear naked chokehold?
Essentially.
That sounds good.
The Shocker is the name of the wrestling move.
Shocker. Oh, yeah.
And I think you know what that is, Kevin, because you've seen it in rugby and you've seen it in soccer.
Oh.
This is where you decide.
Oh, no.
This is where you decide that you are going to put one, two, or in this case, three fingers in your opponent's butt, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
three fingers.
No.
Yes, the Shocker.
There was a guy
that
in rugby, and we brought in some audio from him. There was a guy in rugby who would do that in the middle of matches, and they started zeroing in the camera, and you could see him doing it perfectly. He'd be laying on his
the
back.
The West Tigers North Queensland match last weekend seemed the usual fiery affair for Tigers star John Hopewade, until Cowboys officials lodged post-match complaints claiming contrary conduct. As the footage shows, Hopewade had adopted the unsavory tactic of inserting his finger into opponents' rectums.
Now, I know that that's bad for the insertee, but isn't that also awfully unpleasant for the inserter?
Well, it is,
well, it's
but
through clothes. He's not really, right?
What, but they were just wearing super light shorts.
Yeah, but I mean he's, it's still not finger to skin.
It's not. I don't think it's for pleasure, Bean. I think it's because that will cause them to let go of the ball.
Right, but what I think what I'm saying is, no matter how much pain I'm intending, I'm inflicting on, you know, or emotional distress I want to inflict on my opponent, I'm not willing to go that far, is what I'm saying.
Right, you'll figure out another way to torture them.
Now, here's his defense, by the way, Mr. Hill, Preston Hill in Clovis, New Mexico. He said, and this is what he told the police, that no, that's not what he was doing at all. He was employing a legitimate wrestling move called the butt drag, which is where you grab the cheeks, but it had nothing to do with the butt, and that it was just the guy was making it up. That it wasn't true.
Oh, I see.
But I guess they had other witnesses that said that he had been observed threatening the man in practice and on and on and on. So it doesn't look good for him. So now, like I say, he's been expelled. So now he's got to enroll in another school district.
Wow.
Or go to a private school if he wants to finish out the school year.
And then, you know, that's going to follow him. Wherever he goes, everybody's going to go, that's the guy with the
that's the guy with the
in
fingers.
In this day and age, you cannot keep those things a secret.
Do you know if he did the
angry dragon?
You know, it doesn't say that here. It's possible that that was part of his technique.
Might have done that. All right.
Yeah.
But,
angry dragon.
Right. I'm glad that was on there twice. So anyway, yeah, that's a little scary right there. I mean, exit only.
That is.
That's
that
my
is the
policy.
Rule.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? I haven't said anything yet. Haven't said anything yet.
Oh, sorry. I was just listening to Big Boy.
Hey, that's not our show. Wait.
So mean.
That is not nice. We are going to talk to Dana White today.
Yeah.
Who I love. Cool. President of the UFC. They're doing a Fight for the Troops event. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to him about that. He is super outspoken. I love him for that. Everybody else has some kind of a filter that they run it through, you know. How do I want this to sound to the masses, and how do I want them to think about me? He just says it.
Well, when you own your own business, essentially, right? This is his empire.
Pretty much, right.
You can do whatever you want.
I mean, I admire him very much for that, but I admire him even more for how great a business he's created and the quality product that he puts on.
And that's true.
You know, he just, I mean, the guy's a genius. He really is.
We have the movie beat today because it's Friday. We have Petros Papadakis in the studio talking NFL playoffs. There are only four teams left, people. Two games this weekend to find out who's in the Super Bowl. And then next weekend, the Pro Bowl.
Ooh, that's the one you're looking for, right?
Nope. And then the week after that, the Super Bowl. We have LaQuisha on the program today talking about the Jersey Shore from last night. I did not see it yet, so I'm excited to hear her review. She loves that show so much. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about F-Buddies. You know, there's a movie coming out today called No Strings Attached, and it's Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher. And he wins, by the way, in that particular situation.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I think ladies might disagree with you. I think they think he's pretty hot.
Okay. All right. But is it possible? Is it possible to do that without getting feelings involved? And we were talking about this yesterday after the show, and we were guessing it is possible for guys, you know, with some exceptions, it's easier for guys than girls.
It probably is.
With some exceptions.
But then we decided if the guy was really hot but a total ass,
right,
maybe the girl could do that too much trouble.
Right, because then you get what you want, but then you don't want to stay around because of the personality
flaw.
Because
the stuff that comes out of his mouth.
Right. Whoa. That's what she said. We're also going to talk to the guy who created scanner shirts, which I can't imagine are going to be legal, but it's worth a try. I mean, the guy, he'll sell you a T-shirt, and when you walk through the scanner at an airport, they can't see your privates. So,
aren't they just going to pull you out?
Well, I would think so.
Feel up your privates?
I would think they would do both of the above, yes.
And maybe the shocker, too.
Maybe the shocker.
How they feel that.
Maybe that's what they're maybe that's what they're for.
That's quite possible.
You want to get felt up?
We have more to find out.
Buy a scanner shirt. Ricky Gervais was on the Piers Morgan show last night on CNN.
How was that?
Fascinating.
Was
totally fascinating. You'll be surprised. I think you'll be surprised to hear him say that he doesn't think anyone was offended.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
After everything that was written? And
shocking, right?
Yeah.
Well, I did see on his blog that he said he had drinks with Tom Hanks and Tim Allen after the show and that they were fine.
Those were some
of the names that other people had mentioned that they were really offended because of what they said on stage. But he said, no, that's not the
Bruce
case.
Bruce Willis didn't join them, right?
I don't think Bruce Willis joined them.
Okay.
No.
How about
his son,
Ashton Kutcher?
I don't think so either, no. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. That is next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and it is 5:51. Our clocks are way off, so.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is finally Friday. We got some Bush on the way. Also some Phoenix and that new song from Rise Against just debuted earlier this week. It's so good, called Help Is On The Way.
Hang on! Help's on its way!
No. Oh, different, I love that song.
Different.
Same title, different song. Different
love
song.
Love this. Not the same.
The Little River Band fan is the voice of Ralph Garman, who joins us again this hour for taking a look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
Oh, finally. Jesse James is getting married, finally.
Oh, that's good news.
But this time it's for real. This is his fourth stab at the institution of marriage. Jesse James has proposed to Kat Von D, the tattooing legend. And the pair of them, the two of them could not be happier. Jesse James said that growing old with Kat Von D is going to be an effing blast. And Kat has said publicly that he's the one. Oh, you kids are so cute.
They believe in love.
Yeah.
It's possible, I
sure,
guess.
Sure, it is.
It could be. They could have finally found the
right
people.
Of course it's possible.
Sure. Listen, though. If you, let's say, have a boss.
Right.
And he says, year one, I'm going to give you a bonus at the end of the year.
Okay.
Okay? And then that never materializes.
Right.
Then the second year you're working for him says, this year, though, I'm giving you a bonus at the end of the year.
It'll be bigger than last year.
Bigger.
Right.
This is the best bonus you're ever going to get.
Right.
Second year, doesn't happen. Then the third year comes. And when the fourth year rolls around and he says, hey, buddy, good work this year. You got a bonus coming to you. Do you spend that money? Do you count on that being in your bank account?
No, this time you go F you.
That's what I'm saying.
Jesse James has been married before, is what you're saying.
How many times is the boy going to cry wolf before we say, you know what, maybe don't go so publicly with this is the one and we're going to grow old together. I'm just saying.
And I have to say, Ralph, and tell me if you agree, under the circumstances of how his last marriage broke up with Sandra Bullock, it's, and I like Jesse James, but it seems awfully tacky to come out and say 2010 was the best year he ever had.
Yeah. I agree.
Isn't that like really rubbing salt in the wounds for his ex-wife now?
Bean's referring to the quote, 2010 was the best year of my life because I fell in love with my best friend. That other bitch. F her.
Say that privately to Kat, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Say that in the, to the People magazine or whoever had the story. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It's just lucky. I wish him the best, obviously. I have no hard feelings for either of these two cats. I think they're both great. But, come on. Maybe a subtle, more understated approach would have been the best road to take here in this particular case. George Clooney, who, by the way, will be Piers Morgan's guest on his show tonight on CNN. I did watch that Ricky Gervais show, too, Kevin, by the way. It was a great hour of television.
That's what I thought, too.
Piers Morgan is a really good interviewer.
Yep, I like him.
He's respectful and friendly to his guests, but he also poses a tough question now and then that makes the guy have to think.
Not as big a fan, though, as Larry King, because Larry King was crazy.
But he was a horrible interviewer.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so bad that it was entertaining.
The biggest softballs ever, and just you wouldn't get any real information out of those.
Right, but you watch for different reasons. For Piers Morgan, you watch because you want information. For Larry King, you watch because you want drool.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Drool.
Yeah. Anyway, George Clooney's on the show tonight with his dad, Nick, talking about, of course, George's charity work as well as show business. But what we found out via Piers Morgan this week, and I'm sure it'll be brought up on the show tonight, is that George Clooney contracted malaria while doing charity work in Sudan.
Wow. Dude. That's a serious thing, huh?
Well, here's the thing. George said he's taking this opportunity to show the world that what is often a death sentence for people living in the third world, like Sudan, can be cured with a 10-day treatment of drugs.
Wow. They just don't have it?
If you're diagnosed, they give you a course of drugs that lasts 10 days, and boom, it's over. And he's saying, we could save millions of lives simply by being able to provide this 10-day course of treatment to people who come down with malaria.
Wow.
It's no longer
a death sentence. It is pretty shocking that so many people still die of a disease that we figured out a cure for decades ago.
That does suck.
Yeah, sucks for them. Anyway, woo, USA! Justin Bieber fans love him.
Yes, they do.
But they may be hurting him with their love.
Oh, good.
Apparently, Us Weekly magazine says his fans' screaming is so high-pitched, and he runs into it so often throughout his life, that it may be causing him to lose his hearing.
Wow.
Oh, really? How great would it be if he was deaf by 18?
That'd be so awesome.
And it would make zero difference in his music, I guarantee
it's
you.
It's true. You wouldn't be able to tell.
He wouldn't be able to. It doesn't matter now what the notes
Maybe
are.
Maybe if everywhere he went, if people went...
It is a lower pitch.
Easier on the ears.
It would be easier probably on his ears. But yeah, apparently his hearing's being damaged by the high-pitched squeals of teenage girls everywhere. You watching the new American Idol? Kevin, I know you are. I know you're our big AI man.
I'm not an American Idol fan.
Nielsen ratings for the 10th season premiere this week are in, and they were 13% lower among total viewers than last year's.
Let me ask you guys a question, because you're the AI fans. Was it just Simon leaving, or was it also... I mean, last season kind of lost all of you.
Last season was horrible.
Okay.
Yes. Horrible on every level. So the talent level was awful. The show was awful.
Was it partially that last season as a whole with Simon kind of drove you away?
Well, or Simon was awful last season.
I know, but I'm saying... Is it possible that
why are 13% less people watching this year, you're saying? I think last year they really burned a lot of bridges with people because it was such a horrible season. And the past few seasons, even the winners have been sort of...
just okay.
No one of note. I mean, no one you really remember or passionately care about.
And by the way, that's one of the things I am encouraged about this year is because they've gone to a different record company. They got the great Jimmy Iovine, who's going to be steering these kids' careers, who's got the hit-making touch. And, you know, maybe some of those past winners, Ralph, tell me if you agree, were pretty good singers, but just were saddled with subpar material after they won and obviously couldn't make a hit record out of that, no matter how well they sang.
But I thought even in the championship rounds, when you watch the people who were competing, no one was particularly exciting.
Right.
Well, that's good for people like me who don't like the show but have to run into people talking about it every day, all day, everywhere.
But I'll tell you something. For example, Kelly Clarkson is someone who I don't really particularly like her music.
Right.
And the music she was singing on that first season of American Idol wasn't that particularly strong.
Right.
But she was an entertainer you could not take your eyes off of. She was so impressive, even as an amateur. You're like, wow, this is somebody who's really got a gift.
And has right. gone on to show that.
Right.
You know,
yeah. again, not in my type of music, right. but she's obviously a huge, huge talent.
Yeah.
That has been a diminishing effect throughout the course of the show to the point now where I think maybe people feel they're not that interested anymore. And there is a novelty factor to anything like that that has a phenomenon. You know, the people are respond to. And look, it was still the number one show of the week by far.
Right.
It's still
far,
doing
yeah.
very well, but they do say they are concerned about the slipping knot.
I miss pants on the ground. That's all I know.
I'd miss pants on the ground.
I miss that,
too.
Dude.
I'll put my pants on the ground for you right now if you want
to. No, Kevin. Thanks.
You miss it that much.
Is it the real takeaway? How did Jennifer Lopez get so unbelievably hot?
She's always been hot.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But she's hotter now than she's ever been.
Could
What's
be.
Up?
Could be.
I think a lot of it is she's adorable. Her personality is amazing. And she gets better looking the more you hear her talking, the cuter she acts on that show.
So. Plus, you sit her next to Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
I look good next to Steven Tyler. You know?
There Steven Tyler would impress you if you watched this show. Last night, by the way.
No, I'm saying looks wise, though, B.
Last night, he lifted his shirt.
All right.
At 62 years old, you can't believe what shape this kid
is. Did he call it the situation?
He is in pretty good shape. Well, look. He's in skinny good shape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Psycho Mike wouldn't like him because he's not roided out or anything.
Right.
He's, he's good.
He hits the DNA like lottery anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Just last. I don't have no idea what time it is, so I don't have I have no idea how much time
you
I
have
left.
It's the top of the hour.
Top of the hour? Well, let's just do the birthdays then, shall we? Drew Hill. Nope. Nokia from Drew Hill is 32 years old today. Emma Bunton. You remember her as Baby Spice of the Spice Girls? She's 35 years old today. DJ Chris Gilmore of Incubus turns 38. Gina Davis, film actress and TV actress as well, 55 years old today. She's a good-looking 55, isn't she?
Sure. Bell on that, sure.
Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen from up in Bean's neck of the woods. He is 58 years old. Charlotte Ross, my old buddy from NYPD Blue. It was her ass that got that show into that much trouble with the FCC.
Oh,
we've been
sure.
talking about that.
Sure.
She also plays Quinn's mom on Glee. She is 43 years old today. And singer-songwriter Billy Ocean. That's right, Billy Ocean. Man who brought you Caribbean Queen. Caribbean Queen.
That song sucks.
You
don't even know the words.
I don't know. I have no idea. He is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Into the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:08.
Yes.
Our clocks are all off. Sorry. I apologize.
Kevin Beach on a Friday. Our friend Petros Papadakis is going to be joining us next hour. Ralph has the movie beat in minutes. All I could think about yesterday, Kevin, when I was seeing the news about the 127 mobsters getting arrested, is how much I need to see the Donnie Brasco movie again.
Yeah,
because A, one of the best movies of all time ever. B, it's exactly what unfolded in real life yesterday is they had mob informants who were deep undercover, who have been keeping track and naming names undercover for years, some of these guys. And yesterday was the day, as you'll hear in this news story, that it all came to pass.
It is one of the biggest mafia takedowns in history with suspects nicknamed like Tony Bagels, Vinny Carwash, Johnny Lollipops. The FBI launched this massive sweep in states across the Northeast designed to cripple several crime families. So many were arrested, they had to be processed in an army gym. 127 suspected mobsters and their organized crime associates. Among them, the 83-year-old former boss of New England's crime family, the entire leadership of New York's Colombo crime family, and the guts of the late John Gotti's outfit. The charges include murder, drug trafficking, extortion, and racketeering.
If I'm Vince Lollipop, am I asking for another name?
Yes, you are.
Come on, I'm a mobster. Give me something besides Lollipop.
I don't know how it works, if you get to choose yours or if it gets handed to you or what, but it's an unbelievable story. Look, I'm not naive. I understand that there's still organized crime in the world, but I am surprised at the scope of it and how many people are involved. Because if they arrested 127, there must be hundreds more that are out there they haven't gotten yet.
Yeah, definitely.
It's still big time, the mob, in the 21st century.
Yep.
So we asked producer Alex if there's anyone we could talk to about the story, and I think she actually lined up the jail for us in New York, where over 100 of them are being held right now. So I think we got them on the line right now. Hello there.
Hello. Who's this?
Hi, it's
Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fruit names are those?
Well, who's this?
Who's this? This is Tight Lips Tony.
Tight Lips Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Tony. Okay.
Tight Lips Tony.
We were expecting to talk to a warden or a policeman.
The warden's busy right now. You got me. You got a problem with that?
No, that's good.
Yeah, you're right. That's good.
That's all good. No problem.
So,
what do you and your girlfriend want, Kevin?
Tight lips, you were part of the sting yesterday. You're one of the alleged mobsters.
That's right. Alleged being the key word there. It's all a big misunderstanding.
Oh, is it?
It's a misunderstanding.
It's a big misunderstanding. The whole thing's going to be straightened out in no time. I'll be out in 5 minutes.
Okay. All right.
Or, 5 years, whatever it takes.
I don't know. It just seems like a guy with a nickname like Tight Lips sounds like he's advertising that he's in the mob.
I said allegedly. What are you, deaf?
Sounds
what
like
you got crap in your ears.
Sounds like he's advertising that he's open for business in jail.
I'm here for illegal parking.
Illegal parking.
Really? Yes.
I see.
That was your charge?
Yeah, okay. I parked on a witness. It was some guy's case.
Now, are
unbeknownst to me.
Bean, of course.
Bean said there were 100 of you in that location?
Yeah, there's about 125 of us in here.
Would you mind passing the phone around?
Hold on a second.
Talk a few?
Hey, want to talk to these girls from the radio?
Guys, actually, Kevin
who's
Bean.
This? Hey, who's this?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean.
This is Don the Dingleberry.
Hi, Don the Dingleberry.
Donnie the Dingleberry.
Wow. What? I hate to ask, I'm nervous, but how'd you get that nickname?
I have an interesting place where I kill people.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
I kill people in an interesting way.
Right.
I take the barrel of my gun.
I see.
And
okay.
I
all
stick
right.
it
all
someplace right. that causes them irritation.
I got
okay.
you.
No, I know I got you. Yeah.
More than an irritation.
I don't sure you if you understand what I'm saying.
No,
we got it. Yeah.
Yeah. We got it.
In a place where the sun doesn't shine.
That's right.
Thanks
right.
for clarifying, Bean.
In the man's butt is what you're saying.
Right. Thank you again, okay. Bean.
So, Don, the Dingleberry.
Have we established it's a sphincter?
Yes. I believe we have. Yes.
We have.
All right.
Who else is there with all you guys
in
jail today?
Hey, you want to talk to these guys? Hey, who's this?
Kevin and Bean. Who's this?
This is Danny the Meat Hook.
Danny the Meat
the
Hook?
Meat Hook.
Yeah, they call me the Meat Hook.
Oh, man.
It's because I like meat. I put it on a hook.
Hook, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying there.
I don't think you do. I just hang sausage in my house. That's the all.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with your job at the mob.
No, I'm in for littering. I'm not even in the mob.
Littering?
Littering, yeah.
They don't put you in jail for littering.
Well, it was a guy's head I threw out a window of my car.
Oh, I see.
But still.
That is littering.
It's littering, isn't it?
Sure.
But still, yeah.
That's that what would I'm
be,
saying.
That would be, yeah.
Okay.
So, a bad surprise yesterday when the feds come knocking on your door and arrest you, right?
Not ideal.
Yeah, not what you hope for.
Right.
Not the way you want to start your day.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No.
All right. Anyone else in there?
Yeah, we got a lot of guys in here.
Sure.
One second. Yo, Tony, come over here. Tony, come here. Talk to
another
these guys.
Tony.
It's a very popular name in the mob.
Sure.
How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tony Bagels. My name's Tony Bagels.
Tony Bagels.
Oh, Tony Bagels
in the story. All right.
Yeah, I'm the guy in the story.
Now, why do they call you Tony Bagels?
Because I eat bagels.
That's it?
Yes.
That's not much of a nickname.
Well, I smear it with the brains of my victims.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Wow.
Better than lock.
That ups the ante a bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what are you in for, Tony Bagels?
I'm in for urinating in public.
See, again, that doesn't seem like a punishable offense by jail.
On a dead guy's head.
Okay.
I was
urinating. Okay.
All right.
But
all
it was
right.
still in public.
Sure.
Hold on. I'm talking to somebody else.
Okay.
Hey, Wally. Oh, wow. Wally, come here.
Wally.
A lot of guys there. All the general population, too, which surprised me. They're not locked
who's this, too? Who's this?
Hello?
I'm Wally. What'd you do?
It's a... Kevin and Bean show here. How are you, Wally?
I'm a long-time fan. You.
How much business? How can you even keep a job when you talk like that?
I used to be in the radio too.
Is that true?
I used to be in the morning show.
No. Oh, you're kidding.
But then I couldn't stop telling time wrong, not to have time clock. Show up late and much, not have card key, get in, no
oh,
good.
How dare you.
Oh, that's pretty sad, I guess.
Yeah, I used to be in radio, now I'm into in life of crime.
Now you're in life of crime.
Party bus!
Okay, thank you for your...
And Forrest, you need a knife, and I need Miracle, get me out of here.
Okay, I couldn't make a word of that out.
What?
But I know it's very, very intense, very, very violent scene, so there you go. It reminds me of that plot. Did you ever see Rabbit Proof Fence from a few years ago?
Yes.
About those kids that were on the run and they were being followed and they walked 1,000-something miles through deepest, darkest Australia. Very yeah. similar thing.
Oh, just 1,000? Oh, 1,000 miles?
Thousands, no.
Did they cross the Himalayas on foot?
No.
Did
no.
they?
No.
But they were kids.
Then F those Australian kids. They're pussies.
This does sound good, Rob.
These guys were so intense, you couldn't understand what they were saying.
I'll tell you one, that knife and Wundoshwara fingers.
That's all you need to know, man. You don't want any, you don't want it. You can't handle any more
than
that.
That's true. That is true.
I'm surprised they weren't on that call to the mob jail.
Yeah. Also opening today, The Company Men. This is a very touchy-feely story about a bunch of guys who lose their jobs and wonder who they are as men. You're just unemployed. That's all you are. Relax. Ben Affleck stars Tommy Lee Jones, Kevin Costner, Chris Cooper, Craig T. Nelson.
Wow.
That's kind of cool.
Story of a year in the life of three men who are trying to survive a round of corporate downsizing at a major company and how it affects their families and themselves and their communities and each other. Company Men goes into wider release today, directed by John Wells of ER fame. Here's a scene where Ben Affleck is sharing his feelings like a bitch to his wife, Maggie, who is played by Rosemarie DeWitt.
You want honesty, Maggie? I'm a 37-year-old unemployed loser who can't support his family.
Okay, look, you are going to find a job working for people who know how lucky they are to have you. You have Drew and Carson, your parents, and me. Okay, you have me.
Know what I am? I'm 37 years old and I'm the loser. And oh, man up. Grow a pair of balls. Go out and get a job. You giant fruitcake.
Corn sack. That's what I do for 2 hours. Sit and watch Ben Affleck whine about how he doesn't have a job. F this movie. F it.
Really? Because it seems like very timely for 2011 America.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are going through this kind of crisis.
Well, those people aren't sitting in the movies watching a movie. They're out trying to find a job.
That's true.
And the rest of us who have jobs don't want to watch Ben Affleck whine about how he doesn't have one.
Wow.
Oh, now I have to go work construction with Kevin Costner. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
The next scene that we're not aware of is that he went to do PlayStation, and she said, okay, now you lost me.
Yeah, right.
And she's
exactly.
out.
Yeah.
Now he's on his own.
I'm going to look for a job tomorrow as soon as I get to the next level.
I've got to beat Angry Bird.
And speaking of effing, No Strings Attached opens this weekend. The science fiction tale of a woman who just wants to have sex and doesn't want a relationship.
That's as hot as Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman plays Emma, a successful doctor who's so busy, she just doesn't have time for a relationship. So she's got to start boning the guy she's known for years.
Well,
played by Ashton Kutcher.
I think that's important. It's
they
a good move.
Just have sex. It's No Strings Attached, Kevin.
Oh, I see.
No Strings Attached.
Oh, that applies to what's going on in the movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that's why they call it that. They just have sex. No feelings get in the way
that's
of this situation.
That's what women are known for.
And being this is a romantic comedy, I'm positive that they don't fall for each other at the end and learn an important lesson about life and love. I'm sure that does not happen in this film because this film is fresh and different.
I'm not as good at this as you are. But I would guess they would follow them.
Well, Kevin,
I'm going to disagree with both of you because there are no strings attached.
Ah.
So that can't happen.
So you think they just go on? They just go on the way they are?
Yes, that's right.
Without learning an important lesson about life
and love? There's an important lesson, people.
Yeah. Natalie Portman.
Yes.
Come on.
Right.
She comes to you and says, I want to have sex with you, but no relationship. That's what happens in this film.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. They've been friends for like 20 years. They're best friends. They've been through school and everything. If you're attracted to each other and you're going to fall in love with each other, doesn't that happen in some time in that 20-year span of knowing each other?
Well,
don't you realize that maybe there's something more going on there than just friendship?
Unless he's an idiot, but yeah,
well,
you would think.
It is Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
So maybe he's well cast in
this
stuff.
That's true. Does he get jealous near the end and say,
you are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs you feel you have to show off?
I believe he does. I bet there's no scene in the movie where we're not going to be jealous, and then they show up with another date or something, and they go, I can't believe you brought her to this party. But that won't happen.
But you said that
but
we were
going to... strings attached! Look at the poster!
It's
the name of this movie we're in!
How did I know I would feel this way?
Here's a scene where Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher strike the no strings attached deal.
I'd love to hang out with you in the daytime sometime.
Nope.
It's not really possible. What I need is someone who's going to be in my bed at 2 a.m. who I don't have to lie to or eat breakfast with.
I hate breakfast.
Do you want to do this?
Yes.
Do what?
Use each other for sex at all hours of the day and night. Nothing else.
Yeah, I could do that.
Good. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I can tell you right now who bends. It is not the woman. It's Ashton.
Of course. But then she realizes an important lesson about love and life, and then...
And that's what you can't get away with.
If they don't run to each other's arms at the end of this movie, the tampons will be tossed at the screen from the audience, I'm telling you. There will be a riot of female proportions that you have never seen before.
Maybe this will encourage this trend along.
Yeah, they'll start doing it thinking they can end up in love at the end of it. That's the problem.
That's all right.
We'll just lie to them and say we can.
Right.
Yeah, No Strings Attached opens in theaters everywhere. And ladies, please enjoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, big NFL weekend ahead, NFC and AFC championship games. Petros Papadakis, nationally syndicated sports personality, will be in here to break it all down for us. By the way, as I'm going around the room here, I'm noticing that Lisa's Patriots are out, Kevin's Cardinals are out, Mike's Cowboys are out, Ralph's Eagles are out, my Seahawks are out.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Well, still we got to find somebody to root for. That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
So anyway, we'll talk to Pete coming up in about 20 minutes. Kevin, tell me about your friend here who's on the phone.
Well, he's come up with an idea, a brilliant idea, which is called scanning T-shirts. Is that the name of it?
Scanner shirts.
And basically what happens is when you go through the airport and they take pictures and they can see your junk, this protects you so that if you wear it, they can't see your junk.
Oh. All right. He is an attorney and apparently now an inventor. Mark Carey joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show from Erlanger, Kentucky. Hey, Mark. Thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great. I'm parked in one of those massage chairs at the Brookstone store at the Las Vegas airport after I breezed through security and made a beeline for Cinnabon. So glad to be with you guys.
You are living the American dream, my friend. Well, listen, I know your product, scannershirts.com, is the website, is flying off the shelves because you have tapped into something that has, let's face it, it's nationwide right now. They've really upped the ante on these TSA screenings in recent months, haven't they, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've been in four airports in the last couple of days, and I didn't get scanned myself, although I'm wearing the scanner shirts garments, but I don't fit the profile. You know, it seems like it's grandmas and girls and good-looking women that are going through these things. So I guess that's one of the problems we're trying to protect people against.
If I'm in the TSA, it's all good-looking women.
That's right.
Now, so tell me about the technology involved. What is it that the scanner shirt allows them to see? What is it allows them not to see?
Well, what we did was we came up with a special ink that we apply in it using a special process that takes the area that's imprinted and provides the TSA with nothing more than a blur, which is kind of what you might blur out on a TV show, an obscene gesture or somebody's face who didn't give permission to be used.
Right.
So instead of being able to see all the intimate details of your most private body parts, we kind of blur that out, which we think is a reasonable balance between the interests of the TSA to provide safe air travel in the interests of the rest of us to preserve our own personal dignity and our own personal privacy.
So the women's T-shirts, you have stars that cover the breasts and bikini underwear printed with the U.S. seal and the words "All Rights Reserved," which I think are funny. What is the response from the TSA? Because my immediate thought was there's no way they're going to let this fly because
they're taking you out of line.
They have to take you out of line and pat you down.
Well, here's the thing. The TSA, in their own published standards, indicate that they are not going to touch your genitals. They're not going to touch the front portion of a woman's breast. So the only thing we're blurring out is the part they say they're not interested in checking anyhow. If they pull you out of line, they're not going to grope your genitals, and they're not going to feel the entire surface of a woman's breast.
Why don't you just tell me there's no Santa while you're at it?
If they do, I can't imagine a Supreme Court justice saying that would constitute a reasonable search in order to get on an airplane.
Now, here's the other thing I thought, and again, if you want to check out the product that we're talking about with Mark, it's scannershirts.com. Here's the thing that I thought is, can somebody use this as a shield to hide something dangerous behind the part that now is blocking out the areas they don't want to be seen? In other words, could I hide something behind that star and get it through security? Or would that be, is that what TSA might be afraid of?
Well, you can't hide anything because if you don't go through the scanner, which is an option you have, TSA is not going to search there anyhow. So, obviously, if there was something small enough to hide behind a star, which is all about the size of a silver dollar, or the star on the men's boxer briefs, which covers probably not an area much more than a playing card, if there's something you could hide and you wanted to try and use that technology to hide it, just opt out of the scanner and hide it. They're not going to search there anyhow.
I got news for you. A playing card is not nearly enough large enough for me. I mean, really, we need to up that a bit. Maybe an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper.
That's the only complaint we've had. I swear to you, that's the only thing we've heard is we didn't make the stuff. star big enough.
Now, scannershirts.com is the site. And from what I understand from the publicity I've seen around your product, Mark, you're having trouble keeping in stock. I mean, these things, it's blowing out, right?
It's unbelievable. I mean, it crashed our website on day two and crashed it again 2 days later. You know, we got in touch with some great producers who helped us find fully 100% American-made products. This is all the way from the Weaver to the time we put it in your hand as a customer. Everything in this company is 100% American-made. We found some other people who liked what we were doing. They jumped on board, and they've helped us keep up with orders. Right now, we're staying on top of it, but we think the sky's the limit.
But wait, if it's 100% American-made, that means each shirt costs $49.
Well, you know, that was one of the great things about the product is we were able to find a company that's vertically integrated American-made who will make the primary garment for us before we apply our process to
right.
it. And we're offered them.
Oops. What just happened? TSA just got to him.
TSA got him. Mark, you back?
Oh.
Mark? By the way, I've been to the website. T-shirts are $15.
You're kidding.
That's all there is. Just $15.
$15.
Alex, try and call him back if you can. That was creator Mark from scannershirts.com. I'm really surprised to hear this because my initial reaction was, no way TSA will let this fly.
Yeah.
So, I guess so it's going to go out of business. But he says he's got too much business. Yeah.
Well, at that price, anybody could buy one.
It does make a lot of sense, though, that the part that you're covering up is the part that they don't deal with anyway, I guess.
Oh, but, they deal with it. They've dealt with it many times.
You're going to make them deal with it.
Oh, no, they have. And I've asked for repeats. That's all I know. All right, we have Mark back. Hi, Mark.
Hey, I'm back. I don't think TSA found me. I think it's just a cell tower that dropped.
I know. You'd like to think that, Mr. Naive.
We're almost done anyway, but we just wanted to mention again, like you said, you're 100% American-made, but I've been to the site, and you're still able to sell these T-shirts and the underwear, too, for just $15 each, right?
Oh, absolutely, and that's one of the remarkable things about e-commerce is, you know, you save all the price of that bricks and mortar, and you're able to pass that savings along to the customers.
Great.
Well, you're not only a bright guy with a great idea, but you may be the only person manufacturing something in the 50 United States, so we have to give you credit for that.
It's important stuff to do. We're all in this together, right?
Have you had one person complain, call back and say, hey, that didn't work, they pulled me on the line and checked me because I had the shirt on?
No, absolutely not.
How about that?
People wear these and fly all over the country during the Christmas holidays without a single problem.
All right. If you're flying, you got flight in your travel plans, and you want to be a little bit more modest than perhaps the TSA would like, scannershirts.com is the web address. Mark Carey from Erlander, Kentucky. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show, man. Congratulations on your success.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
I can't contain the excitement. Dave, King of Mexico, is all over Squirrel Appreciation Day today. He won't stop talking about it. Squirrel Appreciation Day is a thing, and it's in its 10th year, and he just couldn't be more over the moon about it.
At my house, it's Squirrel Appreciation Day every day.
Is it really?
That's right. We love our squirrels.
So apparently it's a holiday. I was not aware of that.
Oh, you.
Please enjoy. Petros comes in after the top of the hour to talk all things sports. Right now, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to Jesse James and Kat Von D. They have announced they are getting married. They're going to walk down the aisle. Sandra Bullock's going to be her maid of honor, which surprises the heck out of me.
Doesn't sound likely.
Double
check that.
Other bridesmaids, Michelle Bombshell McGee apparently also going to step by and other people.
It's going to be a hell of a honeymoon.
It sure will. Yeah. Jesse says that growing old with Kat Von D is going to be an effing blast. Yeah, dude. Blast in the glass. You know. So romantic. Honey, growing old with you is going to be an effing blast. Oh, Jesse. You say such sweet things. Congratulations. Ask Kelsey Grammer about marriage, about how it works out.
Well, that's different.
He's on his, 47th marriage now? He's planning on getting married. His soon-to-be ex-wife, Camille Grammer, is still trying to put a halt to the proceedings of their divorce because she wants to settle their financial arrangements before he moves on to wife number 40. And she tells Us Weekly magazine that she regrets some of her behaviors on her TV show, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Apparently, the rest of the cast hated her because of how she behaved, and she says now she thinks she could have created a nicer situation between her and the rest of the housewives.
How about that? Mm-hmm.
You know, I bet she regrets it. It's because one of the housewives on that show got PO'd at her and released still photos from her softcore porn movie, The Naked Detective.
Oops.
And put it all over the internet with disparaging comments written under it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, she did Camille a favor. I don't know if you've seen those stills.
Haven't,
or not,
no.
But she looks
good.
Good.
Really? What's the name of it?
The Naked Detective. It's a softcore porn movie. You don't see any actual sex. It's just simulated to the best of my discerning eye.
Okay.
Can tell. But she looks good naked in it. I'll tell you that much.
I hate that we live in a world where Camille Grammer is now a star, by the way.
Yeah, she's done nothing, essentially.
She's married to Kelsey Grammer. Yeah.
Because, she was in The Naked Detective and quite good in it.
But she's now an actual legitimate media personality because of whatever she's
done.
And her incurable IBS. Yeah, she's got that. Speaking of reality television, Judson Berza.
Oh, Judson does good work.
You don't know the name.
He or she is awesome.
He was the winner of the most recent Survivor Nicaragua.
Okay.
He won $1 million. The 21-year-old who was nicknamed Fabio on the show due to his long flowing hair and stupid brain was popped on Wednesday for suspicion of being under the influence of a controlled substance. Apparently he was, wait for this, riding his skateboard erratically.
All right.
When the police noticed, pulled him over. Squad car behind the skateboard.
Give him the breathalyzer!
They noticed he was acting strangely and arrested him.
You can get a DUI for being on a skateboard?
Apparently you can.
I don't think it's a DUI, but public intoxication, yeah.
Skating UI. Wow, that's weird.
He, of course, is a brand new millionaire, so he made his $37,000 bail in no time and was picked up at the jail by a white stretch limo.
That's the way to do it.
Which then Judson says took him straight to a bar and he cracked a beer.
Well, sure. You need a beer after that kind of experience.
How long do you think that $1 million is going to last for Judson? If he's getting limos to pick him up at jail.
I guess it's almost gone right now.
Yeah. He'll be out by the Pro Bowl.
I know it sounds funny to say, but $1 million really isn't that much money today.
It's easy to burn through it.
Yeah, you used to think $1 million, that's it. You're set for life.
If I was a millionaire, that's all I want. I'm done. I'm going to quit my job and I'm just going to live off that forever.
You could do that if you had no expenses.
But,
right.
But people spend and spend.
Maybe
and spend.
If you invested that money so you had some money, if your money was making money for you.
Right.
But if you're 21 years old and you just start burning through $1 million, I think you'd be surprised how quickly it can go away.
And on alcohol, it can go really fast.
Yeah, if you're loaded, it's amazing how much you don't realize you're spending. So, best of luck. And some great TV news. I could not be more excited. Of course, Roger Ebert is returning to television. He's going to be in a new movie criticism show called Ebert Presents at the Movies.
Is what everybody's been waiting for.
Ebert, of course, a famous movie critic for the Chicago Sun-Times, was on. He was the original guy with the thumbs up, him and Gene Siskel. Remember that show they had together? He's returning to television, and I was not in favor of it because I said the dude has had thyroid cancer and they had to remove half his face, and maybe I don't want to watch that. Maybe that's not how I want to spend a half an hour of my time, is watching a guy who can't talk use his computer voice to tell me what movies to see while I watch the top half of his head sort of dangle off his neck. Maybe that isn't good viewing for me.
Maybe I can just sign up for an email where I can read it.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe he's best left to the print media.
Right.
Well, good news. Roger has announced he's going to wear a prosthetic chin on the television show.
I hope it's Jay Leno-esque. I hope it's like...
I hope it's a different one every episode. I want to tune in and say, oh, Wicked Witch of the West. Oh, look, it's like Shred Ripmaster. Oh, look, he's like a G.I. Joe.
That would be great.
Kung Fu Grip Chin. I just want to...
He
should have a bunch of entertaining chins for us, I think. Now I'm going to just stare at his fake chin off for half an hour. That's all I'm going to do. This isn't any better, by the way.
It's true.
Chin. Look how fake that chin looks. I'm just going to be doing that. I want to hear a word
it's
the
like
man
a dude
says.
With a hairpiece that you can tell
it's a horrible
immediately.
Idea.
Right.
Horrible idea to put him back in television. Horrible idea for the fake chin. Horrible.
It's kind of like the conversation we have about Dick Clark, which is go ahead and be behind the scenes if you want, but there are other people with a full face that could actually be on camera.
That's what I'm saying. Fake chin.
I want it to happen.
He's still going to look like a human Pez dispenser, no matter how you cut it. Tips his head back, candy comes out. It'd be awesome.
That happens.
If that happened
to
me, that's what I would do. I'd tell the doctors, could you put a candy dispenser in my head?
Then people start out laughing at you, and the very next thing, you're their best friend.
That's right, because you give them candy.
Yep.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Could be full-size bars, too.
That's right.
Full jaw.
You put like Kit Kats or something cool. It wouldn't even be that little Snickers. BS Pez candy. It'd be like real candy. Emma Bunton of Baby Spice celebrates her birthday today. Of the Spice Girls, she is 35 years old today. Wow, we're all getting old when the Baby Spice is 35. You know what I'm saying?
Was she your favorite, Ralph? Were you a baby guy?
I was a ginger man.
Ginger.
I like me some ginger.
You didn't have a favorite Spice Girl. Does that make me bad?
Come on, Kevin. Yes. You have to have a favorite Spice Girl.
It does. You have to have a favorite Spice Girl. You do.
Just tell me what you want, Kevin, what you really, really want. What more can we...
Can we do that feature right now? Right this second?
Chris Gilmore of Incubus is 38 years old. Charlotte Ross of NYPD Blue, who currently plays Quinn's mom on Glee. She's 43 years old today. Gina Davis turns 55. Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen is 58 years old. And singer-songwriter Billy Ocean is 61. We don't have any time right now, but I'm going to bring in some Billy Ocean. We can all.
I hope it's Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car.
You know it's on the list.
I hope we have time next hour. I doubt it.
We are. We're going to have time, and we're going to have a little Billy Ocean sing-along. Oh, so join me in an hour, won't you? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hi.
Oh, I thought you were talking about what you were doing.
No. You know, my initials are actually pee-pee.
That's true.
Yeah,
that must have been tough growing up.
I hate everybody. Petros Papadakis, co-host of the nationally syndicated Petros and Money radio show, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I don't know if you saw the article, but you and your buddy Money did a live show from Orange County recently, and they wrote about it in the newspaper. I know you were at the event, but here's what they wrote about in the newspaper. Petros Papadakis, a young, funny, hip, irascible, fast-talking, and take-charge kind of guy.
That's me.
Wow. That's nice.
That's right.
Nice. quite a compliment there, Pete.
Oh, my goodness. You sound like Barack Obama right there. I'm ready to vote for this guy. Now, I follow you on the Twitter, and it seems like lately every third tweet is a picture of you getting yet another tattoo. What's going on, man? What's the deal here? Well, my friend Tom Berg is a tattoo artist, so when you hang around with tattoo artists, you end up with tattoos.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll come in on my day off. Oh, really? Yeah. Should I get a rib tattoo? Okay, yeah. Okay. And then you wake up in the morning, and it's like, oh, today's the day I have a rib tattoo schedule.
What's your latest?
The latest tattoo I got was an outline of the... It's very personal.
Okay.
It's the outline of the Isle of Rhodes, the isle in which I was married.
It's very romantic.
Of course, Bean said I was getting divorced in a couple years, so I'm happy to have it.
Most people do, so he's just playing the odds.
Well, 50% people do, so...
I saw the picture that you tweeted of your rib tattoo.
It's not done there. It's not done. I had to go to work.
And I didn't know what it was, but I thought it was a vagina. That's what it looked like to me. It looked like you were getting a vagina tattoo.
Stop it. Every tattoo is not a vagina of some sort.
But Pease looks like it, though, doesn't it?
Well, look.
No.
We all came from there.
That's true.
Okay. We all love it. It's a fertile field in which we all sprung forth from.
Sure.
And there's worse things to have tattooed on you. But no, it is actually the outline of the Isle of Rhodes with the castle on top of the hill in the town in which I was married. Lindos Rhodes is being put on or inside the outline. So we're working on it here.
Okay. That's going to be a painful memory for you, though, once you guys get divorced, though, because then you'll always see that on your body.
Thank you very much. Yes, absolutely.
In case we didn't get the point yet.
All right. Well, listen, P, what's going on in the world of sports that you love right now? What are you excited about?
I'm excited about Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin.
Because you guys know that I work with the Clippers, and nobody cares normally. I came in here last year and said, hey, you know, here in the offseason, it's football's over, but it's basketball season. Yeah. And, you know, I'm working on the Clippers postgame show, and you guys are like, oh, why? And now,
the Clippers
now we're in the eye of the NBA storm, Kevin. Don't you start with your Laker hatred and your big geek.
The Clippers have been in the past. And by the way, it's not because of the players. It's not because of the coaches. It's not because of the fans.
I know
your
stance.
It's Donald Sterling, the person who owns the Clippers.
Difficult to like.
He's a terrible owner.
Now, that being said, we are in the eye of the LA storm. And look, celebrating the Lakers does not mean you have to hate on the Clippers.
That's how I was taught.
You have to give the Lakers their due because they are the two-time defending NBA champs and one of the great franchises, not just in basketball, but in all of sports. But you guys have been through these three-peat type of years before, and complacency sets in. Here in Los Angeles, what people want to see right now, and I'm not kidding, guys, I'm there.
is Blake Griffin.
Hey, yeah. I believe it because he is an amazing, player.
I'm not kidding. I mean, it's hard to put a value, and we're all scrambling in the world of sports to define what this guy is, and he just is. There's nothing that's ever been like him before. He plays with a reckless abandon. He's violent. He has an ability, an athletic ability that's unprecedented, even beyond of what LeBron James, who's the best athlete I thought I ever saw, possesses, or Usain Bolt, you know, one of those guys that sprints right. the 100 at 6'5". This guy is absolutely insane.
Electric.
And he's a nice kid. There's an electric feel. That's a perfect word for it, being in Staples Center when the Clippers play now just because of this kid, and the team is playing along with him. And I want to put a football helmet on him because, you know what, it's not, I'm serious, it's not going to be pretty. He's going to rip his face off or his ear or something yeah. on the rim.
Well, here's the weird thing about a guy like him is that most players that go through high school and they're superstars, then they go through college and they're superstars, then they make it to the NBA. If they make it to the NBA, it'll take them 5-6 years to mature enough to yeah. actually get playing
well,
time.
The guy can't shoot. He doesn't make free throws. He just jumps over people and puts his nipples on the rim.
Last year he was injured, so he didn't play any regular season games. So this is really his first year in the NBA, and he's dominating.
He's got to play in the All-Star game. I'm pretty sure NBA Commissioner David Stern would rather dress up as Madonna with cone boob bustiers and walk around.
I'd like to see that.
All-Star weekend than not have this guy in the All-Star game. He's become the biggest attraction, believe it or not, and he's a Clipper. He's become the biggest attraction in the NBA today. And the amazing thing is the Clippers are way under 500.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to the playoffs unless they really make a surge here. And they have been playing well, but everybody wants to see what this kid can do. So that is what I'm interested in these days.
Let me ask you this, Pete. Yeah. Let me ask you this. And we've heard Kevin's take on Donald Sterling. He's certainly not alone in feeling that. But how much is Donald Sterling involved in what's going on with this team? Because when I see the general manager of the Clippers come out and say, we're sticking with Blake Griffin for life, he's never going to play for another team, he's going to be a Clipper forever, that uh-huh. does sound like a sea change in attitude for that franchise.
Well, it's actually been – that's a bit of a stigma with the Clippers. And again, defending the Clippers isn't easy over the years. But for the last decade, they've signed, or at least attempted to sign, their players who are good. You know, they brought guys back and done the right thing with people. So right. I think they'll go to the wall for this kid, and depending on what kind of success they can have, but we'll see. But that's 2014, guys. I mean, that's a while. Who's going to win the Super Bowl in 2014?
Arizona. When you look at history, though, every great player that played for the Clippers leaves as soon as they can to go play for an NBA team.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Just about.
No, Elton Brand stayed around. They have guys that stay around. It's been a long time since they just kind of sent everybody. Listen, that is a little bit of an antiquated argument about the Clippers.
And again, I don't want to insult Clipper fans. You people are crazy, but hardcore. You deserve better is what I'm saying. And the team deserves better.
Than the owner?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. What do you want me to say?
You deserve a better owner.
I work on the damn postgame show. What do you want me to say?
I'm just saying.
You know, obviously the guy is, he's like the Al Davis of basketball, but probably worse. No, Al's yeah. worse.
No, he's
but,
not.
No, Al's but worse because no, you not. Never know if Al's going to fire or hire anybody. Al could fire his new head coach, Hugh Jackson, the Raiders' new head coach, tomorrow, and no one would be shocked.
Hey, there's no question the Raiders would be way better off if Al Davis sold or died. I mean, really, honestly, if somebody else took over that team, they would be way better off.
Al Davis looks like the ghostwriter after he's been extinguished.
He does. It's true.
You know, at least Donald Sterling still has a little style. He wears those collarless suits and walks around like he's the king.
Yeah, and shouts insults at his players on the court.
I have no proof of that. I've never heard anything like
that.
I stand in the media room eating popcorn. Leave me be.
That's crazy.
I think the point here is, though, that there are a lot of positives to the Clippers story, and especially this season, beyond whatever negative.
Sure. Thank you, That's Bean. All I'm
I
thank
agree.
You, Bean. Why are you staring daggers at me? How dare you? Just because I celebrate Blake Griffin here on your show. I mean, come on.
All right. Let's take a break. Petros Papadakis from the PMS show is, of course, the Fox Sports nationally syndicated radio program, is here in studio with us. We mentioned the Raiders. That's one of the teams that we follow that is not in the playoffs this weekend. But you've got some very compelling matchups.
Yeah, you got
we want
New
to
England,
talk to you about
Atlanta,
those.
You got New Orleans. A lot
no,
of teams.
I'm what? Afraid none, of, those teams none of those.
Sorry, all those teams.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. So we'll talk all things NFL playoffs this weekend with our friend P right after this on the Kevin and Bean. The president of the UFC, Dana White, joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we've got highlights of Ricky Gervais' sit-down interview with Piers Morgan on CNN. That's all on the way in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Petros Papadakis, our guest in studio. Big football weekend ahead. As Kevin mentioned before the break, a lot of the teams we expected we would be seeing right now, you know, your Colts and your Patriots and your Saints and those kinds of teams, they're watching on their couches along with us.
Yeah, but I told you guys about this earlier in the year, and I tell you about this every year. The margin of victory in the NFL is very small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's wafer thin. And it doesn't really matter on the road or at home. These teams can go in and one guy makes a mistake or one guy calls a good play and gets a safety to bite or something minuscule like that that people that are watching don't really understand. And the season's over. And that's just how it is. The NFL is great. The playoffs are absolutely wonderfully intriguing. And these are great games coming up this weekend. But we don't have Brady the Lady. Big deal. I don't need to see him and his hair and his wallet chain anyway.
It is. You're right. You're right that there is quite a bit of parity in the league, and the ratings get bigger every single year. Something like 18 of the 20 most watched television shows of the past TV season were NFL games. I mean, it's just crazy how big it is, and it's the best reality show on television.
Chili cheese Fritos, and they sit there and they stuff our faces with NFL, and we just are gluttonous, fat, growing, sickly Americans.
And loving it.
And we love the angry violence of the game. We're the Roman Empire. I mean, pretty soon, everybody's going to have their hand down their pants in the stands like they used to at the Roman Coliseum. And after the game, we're going to have lions come out and eat all the players. I used to have a dream. I tell you,
the lions aren't in the playoffs, B.
No, no, just like, you know, real lions.
Oh, real lions.
I used to have a dream when I was a player that the night before games, we'd sleep at the Biltmore Hotel downtown when I used to play for USC, and I'd have a dream that my head flew off, that somebody tackled me and my head just flew off.
Not your helmet, your head.
No, my whole head.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Inside the helmet.
Okay.
And, you know, you could see my spine and the sinews and blood flying everywhere, and everybody cheered. Bloodlust! That's what pro football is, and people love it in this country.
All right, let's talk yes, go ahead, Kevin.
We're running out of time, unfortunately. Let's talk Green Bay, Chicago Bears.
Okay. This is an exciting and very old rivalry. Goes back to the days of Vince Lombardi versus the Papa Bear, George Halas. You got the hottest quarterback in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, and a really good defense in Chicago and a good run game. They kind of win in spite of their quarterback, who's kind of a moody guy but can play well at times, in Jay Cutler. Most people think Green Bay is going to win this game, but it's in Soldier Field.
Yeah.
And Matt Money Smith, as you know, is super geeked up about
this. Well, he's from Chicago.
Mr. Bears, right?
Yeah, he absolutely loves the Bears. I think it'll be a great game, but I think Green Bay's going to win it because that quarterback is really, really hot.
This is one of those deals where both teams play well in the cold because they're from the cold.
So, yeah, and it's a bad surface, so that'll play a factor into it, but both teams have to
both
play
teams are ready,
on the same surface. So it'll be a great game, and I think the AFC game is going to be equally as good.
What about the chances of the New York Jets beating the Pittsburgh Steelers and going on to the Super Bowl?
Well, look what they've done already.
I know.
I mean, they go to Indianapolis and they win, and then they go to New England, the immortal New England with the guy in the hoodie and Brady the Lady and all those little white guys running around.
Nobody gave him a chance.
And they beat New England, and now if they can go to Pittsburgh and win, I think that Sanchito, with all his Latin flair and panache from Orange County, South Orange County, Mission Viejo High School, the strong Diablo, will really be a legend. Now, Roethlisberger is a guy, though, that just doesn't lose. I mean, not in these situations. He moves around. He throws the ball. He's really, really underrated as a quarterback. And he's kind of cleaned up his life. He's engaged now, and he's become a better teammate. And Troy Polamalu is going to play in this game. Troy Polamalu, my old teammate, is one of the best players, probably the best football player I've ever been around. And he's a joy to watch.
And has he been hurt or something? Is that the deal?
He was hurt in the last game that the Jets played the Steelers, and the Jets won. And the Steelers didn't really need the game, so Troy didn't play. So he's going to play in this one. And he's a ball hawk, and Sanchez is a young quarterback. So that could be something. And Steelers great at stopping the run. The Jets are going to try to pin their ears back and run at him. There'll be an explosion. There's going to be a war in the streets. I mean, it's going to be fun.
It's impossible to pick, but you're picking Green Bay.
Steelers
and
versus
you're
Green
Steelers.
Bay, yeah. Steelers versus Green Bay, but who knows? I mean, come on.
Do you know anybody who has made money wagering on these NFL playoffs?
I don't know anybody who's made money wagering as a habit. You know, those people all owe $40,000.
People get lucky.
Gambling's worse than heroin. I mean, it's worse than anything because you owe $200,000-$300,000 and your family gets screwed up and then you get dropped in the harbor filled with cement and you die. You know, you just kill yourself, but, you know, your family's got to pay your debts.
I don't do that kind of gambling. You do?
No, certainly not. Right. I'm not a gambling man. Never have been.
All right. Last question for you. Last question for you, P. And of course, Petro some money on the Fox Sports Radio Network, and you can hear P. You're doing post game on the Clippers on the radio.
Clippers post game, and I do the PA for USC basketball plus the radio show. Those are my off season duties.
Last question. When they arrested 127 mobsters in the New York area yesterday, were any of them related to you?
I'm Greek. I'm not Italian.
He's not Italian, dude.
I know how no Greek. The Greek mob goes looking for little boys. I mean,
I didn't mean
anybody
to offend
that's
you.
To catch a predator. Yeah. That's the show that'll round them up.
I hijacked a truck filled with feta cheese on the way up here. Me, I'm Greek. My God. But some of those guys did have really cool names.
They did, yeah.
Jack the Whack.
Yeah, but what about the
Vinnie
lollipop?
Car Wash.
What about the lollipop? You don't want that.
You know what? You never know that. The guy might be the biggest hard ass. Look at me. I'm a hard ass. I could beat all you guys up. I have a Hello Kitty backpack.
You're not a hard ass.
I can fight both of you. I'll fight everybody here and me and Liesl right off into the sunset.
All right, like P, it. You are the best, man. Thanks,
fight
as
on,
always,
bye.
For coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. By the way, next week on the show, if I remember correctly, Social Distortion is going to be coming
That's correct.
And they're going to be performing live.
That's correct.
Do a little interview, do a little live music. We're going to give Kevin and Bean listeners the opportunity to join us in studio to see that up close and personal. And by the way, if you ever get the chance to meet Mike Ness, do it, because he's a super cool dude and so much fun. And Kevin owes him money.
He's super cool till you owe money.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden, you never stop hearing from the guy.
He's not so cool.
Anyway, so starting Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll give you a chance to find out how you can come down and be with us as Social D plays live on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, let's talk about Ricky Gervais. He was on the Piers Morgan show last night. This is the guy that's replacing Larry King, which makes me very sad because Larry King is 150 and has lost it entirely.
Yeah.
And I love that.
The thing about Larry King and the thing that you appreciated, I think, and the reason he was your hero in broadcasting is he had no idea ever what was going on.
Ever.
Like, a guy would sit down in front of him, he wouldn't know anything about him, and he would just have to figure out in the course of an hour what the dude was about.
It could be the biggest thing in the world. In this particular case, it was Ricky Gervais who hosted the Golden Globes this past Sunday night. Seems like everyone in Hollywood's mad at him. And Larry would have no idea what happened. He would say, so, how are things going?
What have you been up to?
And I love that. But Piers Morgan is a great interviewer, so now I'm not interested because he's, you know, he's sharp. But Ricky Gervais was on, and he was, this is Piers Morgan's introduction, and I certainly hope he's exaggerating.
My guest tonight is somebody who's been at the center of a huge scandal rocking America this week. Some say his crime was worse than Watergate. Others go further and say it was the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of planet Earth.
I'm guessing that that's...
I think he's kidding.
That's an exaggeration, right?
Yes.
Because if
yes.
anyone said that, they need to be put to death, honestly. I mean, let's be honest.
I think he's saying it's a little overblown.
Yes. So he sits Ricky down and he gives him a little talking to.
You've been a very naughty boy, haven't you?
Okay, now it's getting creepy.
Well, you know what happens to naughty boys back in Britain?
Oh, this is getting weird. Larry King never did this.
I love him.
By the way, I should mention, you know Piers from America's Got Talent. He was a judge on that show. But prior to that, he had a very long career for 25 years or something like that, doing interviews on TV in Britain and also being the editor of major newspapers over there. The guy has a deep journalistic background. So, I mean, this is a new side of Piers to American viewers, but that's a great start to the Ricky Gervais interview.
Right. And then he starts playing clips from the Golden Globes, one of which was maybe the funniest joke of the night, which is the Scientology joke. He plays it, and then he asks Ricky Gervais what he meant by it.
Also not nominated, I Love You, Philip Morris, Jim Carrey, and Ewan McGregor, two heterosexual actors pretending to be gay. So the complete opposite of some famous Scientologist, then.
Now, obviously, I must have been the only one who didn't know what on earth you were talking about, or who you were talking about.
Nor do I.
Yeah, you wouldn't either.
No idea.
You were just throwing it out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just conveniently came up with that line.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
So he picks up the beer in front of him. He says, cheers.
And Piers picks up his beer and says, cheers.
Obviously, it's two guys winking and nodding and going, yep, we know exactly what we meant, but we can't say it.
That's hilarious.
Scientologists have attorneys, so we will say no more.
So Piers wants to know what Ricky hopes to accomplish. You know, what's his aim?
What is your aim, then?
I want to make people laugh. I want to do a good job. But on my terms, really, it's not a popularity contest with me. If someone said... you could make that joke more palatable, more people would like you, I'd go, that's not my joke then. You know, I do this for me, really.
Yeah, and he also mentions during the interview that if you didn't like that, you shouldn't come see his stand-up, which I've seen, and he's right. Because he is super, super, super treading on thin ice. I mean,
you expect that in stand-up.
Yes, you
that's
do.
That's the problem
true. That's
here,
true.
I think, was the difference in venues.
I think he's brilliant, but not everyone particularly did, including the president of the foreign press. Remember, Ricky made a comment about how he had to get him off the toilet and pop his teeth back in.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's not very happy.
And they said,
he's describing how he got the gig, and did they put any restrictions on what he can say as the host?
And they said, would you like to host the Globes? And I said, can I say what I want? And they said, yes.
One of the leading figures from that organization came out afterwards and was...
The president.
Vaguely condemnatory. Thought you'd gone over the line a few times.
My sense of humor isn't theirs, but they hired me for a job. And if they didn't want me, they shouldn't have hired me.
All right. I like that. I like that. I like that he's not getting on and saying, I'm really sorry. Everybody got upset. I'm really sorry.
He's saying, you know who I am.
Right.
And you hired me.
So Ricky says, these are A-level celebrities. They don't care what I say. Nothing that I say matters to them.
I think your confidence that none of them would be offended is probably stretching it a bit. I mean, they can be delicate little flowers.
Well, okay. Well, if they are, I'm sorry for them being offended, but I'm not sorry for anything I said. And don't forget, just because you're offended, it doesn't mean you're in the right. A lot of people are offended by mixed marriage. It doesn't mean they're right.
How about that?
Brilliant.
I like it. Not
brilliant.
True.
How about that?
I'm going to get my first tattoo. Just because you're offended doesn't mean you're in the right. Thank you, Ricky Gervais.
And hello, lawyers of our company.
Yes.
Then they play the clip of Robert Downey Jr. and his comeback, and they ask him what he thinks of it.
He has done all those films, but many of you in this room probably know him best from such facilities as the Betty Ford Clinic and Los Angeles County Jail. Please welcome Robert Downey Jr.
Aside from the fact that it's been hugely mean-spirited with mildly sinister undertones, I'd say the vibe of the show is pretty good so far, wouldn't you?
Now, you're laughing there.
Yeah.
Was he joking?
Of course he was joking.
How do you know?
Because I've met him, and he's got a great sense of humour.
Did you meet him afterwards?
No, beforehand.
So you're guessing he's joking?
Well, I'm guessing that he's not bothered by anything I said. Why would he be? He's Robert Downey Jr. He's the coolest man in the world. Why would he care?
What a great point. Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. What does he care if some gap-toothed, pudgy comedian makes fun of him on TV?
He also said he met Tom Hanks backstage, and Tom Hanks was fine with it. It sounded to him like Tom Hanks was trying to make a joke when he came out.
Yeah.
Right. So, but we've talked about this so many times, Kevin, not just in this case, but in lots of stories in the news and in incidences where we've had on our own show where we've had problems. Sometimes it's not just the people who are offended. It's people who think other people are offended.
That's more the case.
They're the ones who speak up. It's like, oh, no, somebody might get their feelings hurt if you do that.
PR people, heads of the studios, whatever, all concerned that their client might be upset. The client may not be upset at all, but they go to bat, you know, and they make sure that everybody, that Ricky hears about it.
I wonder if anybody would say they were upset, because that just makes them look kind of sad and petty.
Yeah, probably. But then he ended with this.
I'm very Darwinist about this. You do your own thing, and then you see if you survive. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Because if you start second-guessing, and you're trying to find people that are like you, or change it to make certain people like you, you're finished. And you're finished as a comedian more than any other thing in the world. You know, it's not my job to worry about what people think of me. That's a job for a politician, okay? I don't care what people think of me. I care that I've done a good job, and I care that I told the truth. That's all I care about. If it's funny, what a great bonus that is.
There you go.
No, that's an excellent point.
Well done.
Lawyers, are you listening? Lawyers for us, are you listening?
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. And I understand you got free stuff to give away, too.
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I have some passes to give away to the very special advanced screening of a movie called The Mechanic. It's on January the 27th. The movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday, January the 28th. But you'll get to see it before anybody else. If you're one of the first five callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067, we'll give you a pair of passes to attend the advanced screening of The Mechanic, starring Jason Statham, Ben Foster, Donald Sutherland. Jason Statham plays a mechanic who's an elite assassin in the underworld, and he's got a strict code of ethics, and he takes a young man under his wing to try to teach him his skills, and stuff goes horribly wrong.
Uh-oh.
That's all I got to tell you. You check it out for yourself. It was a great film, the original with Charles Bronson, and this one looks just as good. So call now if you'd like to win. Speaking of assassins and movies, casting has been confirmed for a new mob movie called The Iceman, about a notorious mob contract killer who earned his name by freezing the bodies of his victims. That would disguise the time of death and would throw the police completely off track.
Interesting.
He was a smart dude. Real life story of a man named Richard Kulinski, was the name of the real Iceman, and the casting now is finished up on that film. One of Bean's favorite actors, Michael Shannon, will be playing the Iceman. I just said you were. He's one of
Where
your
do
favorites.
I know him from?
He was the he's the FBI guy in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, okay. Ah, okay.
And Oscar nominated for Revolutionary Road too.
Benicio del Toro is also in the film, and James Franco also joining that cast. So good cast.
Any other awards he's won, Bean?
I'm just trying to help people picture who the actor is that Ralph's talking.
I couldn't get Boardwalk Empire out fast enough. I was saying it, and he's still saying it.
It's remarkable.
We heard you guys talk about Piers Morgan. George Clooney is going to be on the show tonight talking about his career. Of course, going to be on there with his dad, Nick, who's also a very cool dude. I don't know if you've ever seen Nick Clooney or not, but he's a longtime broadcaster. And
out of work right now, though. Got fired from his sign holder job.
Very
right?
interesting fellow. George will also be talking about the fact that he was in Sudan doing some charity work recently when he contracted malaria.
Because that's what champions do.
And that sounds like a very serious deal, but in reality, George says he's taking this opportunity to show the world that what is often a death sentence for people in the third world actually can be cured with about a 10-day treatment of drugs. So he's fine, but he said there's a lot of people who aren't as fortunate.
That's him. Rough.
They can't get that course of medication. A lot of
it's rough that they have had the answer for that problem and no access.
A lot of the money spent on the charitable organizations, especially in that part of the world, is spent on drugs, and they've got these little packs of 10 pills, and they try to get them in the hands of many people as possible, but it's just, it is an uphill climb, that's for sure.
Kevin, you need to go on the Celebrity Hater Show to come out against George Clooney being on TV talking about saving kids from malaria. You must hate that. He's saving lives all over the place.
It's hard to hate George Clooney.
Yeah.
Movie Phone says that a film company has purchased the rights to all of the old Jerry Lewis movies. They plan to do remakes of at least three of Jerry's classic movies from the 60s, The Bellboy, Cinderella, and The Family Jewels.
I saw none of that.
Boy, is this a horrible idea. if those work, they've also got the rights to The Errand Boy, The Patsy, and Who's Minding the Store, more Jerry Lewis movies. Here's the thing. It's all based on the fact that Eddie Murphy did The Nutty Professor and made a lot of money with it. So they think maybe they can catch lightning in a bottle again by doing remakes of these other Jerry Lewis movies. But I think they are sorely mistaken. Because the other Jerry Lewis movies don't have the strong sort of premise of the guy takes a potion and turns into somebody else. It's basically Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the comedy version of it.
Right.
These other films were very very Jerry-centric. It was just based on sort of what Jerry Lewis does. And without that guy, I don't think these movies will be that interesting. But, hey, look, what do I know? They're the big Hollywood superstars, right?
Yes.
Right.
Doesn't mean they know, though, by the way.
No, it doesn't. Mm-mm. And here's some interesting casting news. Russell Brand is hoping to land a role in the big screen version of the hit Broadway musical Rock of Ages. He wants to play Lonnie, the guy who runs the 80s rock club called The Bourbon, for the owner named Dennis. And Alec Baldwin wants to play Dennis. So if this casting comes true, that means we'll get to see Russell Brand and Alec Baldwin doing a duet of the REO Speedwagon classic Can't Fight This Feeling.
What a bizarre set of circumstances.
I'd pay $12 to see that.
Wow.
Sure.
Tom Cruise is also interested in being in the movie. He wants to play the rock star Stacey Jacks in the show. That character sings Bon Jovi's Want It Dead or Alive.
So yeah, we'll you love that song.
Get to see Cruise rocking out to Want It Dead or Alive. So there you go. This was a big hit on Broadway, this show, and it's basically just people singing hair band music from the 80s.
Just 80s celebration, yeah.
Yeah, so check that up on the big screen. Speaking of 80s, it's singer-songwriter Billy Ocean's birthday today. That's right.
Love on the Run. How does that work?
No more Love on the Run. What he's saying. He's 61 years old today. I wish he and Eddie Grant would just tour together so I could see Electric Avenue and Caribbean Queen.
I could avoid them both at the same time.
Paul Allen is 58 years old today. Gina Davis turns 55. Charlotte Ross of NYPD Blue. And currently as Quinn's mom on Glee, she is 43 years old today. Charlotte Ross, I did some work on NYPD Blue. She was one of the nicest people on that set.
Really?
She was always very kind to me, and I appreciated that.
Did she want you?
I was basically a glorified extra, and she was a big star, and she was very, very kind to me.
Nice. Don't sell yourself short, Ralph. You were Officer Gruden.
She was very pretty, too.
Right, did you?
She had big bosoms.
Right.
I noticed that.
Did you?
You all right, Kevin?
I'm fine.
Did you have a bad taco for breakfast?
That's a good question.
Chris Gilmore of Incubus, 38 years old. Emma Bunton. Ha! Baby Spice of the Spice Girls. Why do you laugh every time I say her name Bunton, Mike?
Similar.
Yeah, but it's not. It's Bunton. It's just her name, man. If I said a bun cake, would that make you laugh?
Too? Yes, it would.
You're 12 years old.
Yes, he is.
Baby Spice is 35, and Nokia of Drew Hill is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
First, let's talk about No Strings Attached. This is a movie that comes out today, and it stars, Natalie Portman.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashton Kutcher.
Hey, he's cute.
But basically, they make a decision that they're going to use each other for sex and nothing more. Here's a clip.
I'd love to hang out with you in the daytime sometime.
It's not really possible. What I need is someone who's going to be in my bed at 2 a.m. who I don't have to lie to or eat breakfast with.
I hate breakfast.
Do you want to do this?
Do what?
Use each other for sex. At all hours of the day and night. Nothing else.
Yeah, I could do that.
Good. It's going to be fun.
All right.
Okay, so it's a science fiction movie because Natalie Portman is saying to anyone, do you want to use each other for no strings attached sex?
Right.
That's the plot of this movie. On the surface, if you take out the fact that there are human beings with emotions, on paper, this should work because you've got guys and you've got girls and they've got needs and sometimes they don't always have somebody for those needs and it looks like it should work on paper. But real life is so much messier than that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that she's not the one that has a problem with it in the movie. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm guessing he's the one that starts having problems.
Because they're going to do the switch, because a lot of times it's the woman
right.
that ends up
I'm guessing
the
he's like, hey, how come you showed up at a party with someone else?
No,
and
I'm
she'll
so
say,
jealous.
But we had an agreement. He's going to say, I know, but I didn't know I was going to feel this way.
So producer Alex is in here. Apparently she's fired up on this topic because you are down with it or not down with it?
Oh, so down.
Oh,
this
she's the president
best.
Of this company.
This is,
oh, okay.
Call us, people. I'll give you advice. I'll give you tips. You have to, first of all, take stock in yourself and know if you're the kind of person who's built for this, guy or girl.
Can you do this without falling in love?
Correct.
Or getting emotional about it?
You have to be the type of personality that can compartmentalize and can separate sex from love or feelings. And it's okay, girls and some guys, if you can't. But don't lie to somebody thinking, oh, you know what? Totally. Yeah, I can totally have sex with her and then go back home and
create
feelings for that.
If a hot girl asks a guy if he can do that, his answer will always be yes.
That is true.
Regardless of whether he's going to be able to pull it off or not. I mean,
and from the other person's point of view, if it's like a really hot guy, you think right now it's just this way, but he's going to fall. You know,
I would imagine.
Because I'm good.
I know tricks.
Yeah, I know tricks. I mean, I think that's part of it. I think sometimes it's not even that you fall in love, but you just start to feel like, why aren't I good enough?
Oh,
you know
now that's
mean?
Interesting.
Oh.
That's
how come you go
you
out
are.
With this person? I'm good enough to do this, but that's it.
Because that's all that person wants. That
and
person.
Then you Correct. Start to feel crappy.
Alex, did you start to feel crappy? Because this was
not,
Alex.
Not
Spider.
Alex. No,
this
me.
Is Alex's life.
This is my M.O.
Until boyfriend.
Correct.
And then right. at boyfriend, yeah. she only does it like part-time now.
Because.
I mean, she quit it altogether.
No, I think F buddies work for certain periods of your life. If you're maybe really focused in school or your career and you've got a great group of friends and family, but you just don't need like another full-time job. You don't need a high-maintenance relationship, something that you want to give that much time to. So mm-hmm. it's perfect. So you have to make sure you're in the right phase in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to make sure that you surround yourself with the right people that aren't going to burn you and suddenly become a high maintenance expert.
How do you pick the person? That's the question. I mean, that seems like the most difficult part.
I don't know. I mean, for me, I started out, you know, sleeping with friends, just
right.
like this film.
Just everyone.
Yeah, totally. I was
yeah.
like, hey, all right, no, you know, just pick a number.
Next.
Let's go. Next. No. You start to get a read when you're going out with friends or you're hanging out at someone's house and people will start to introduce you.
Mm-hmm.
Friends are the best way to do it. If you're really honest with your group of, you know, girlfriends or guy friends and say, this is what I'm looking for, they tend to help you out. At least my friends did and would sort of say, this guy's in town, you know, for 6 months, or you should meet my cousin, or whatever, and you just sort of
don't you
start
think
to
that the
out.
Length of time is also what affects how it works for you?
Absolutely.
Like, you can't do this for 2 years with one person.
No, you have to know that like everything has an expiration
yeah.
date.
So, I mean, for short term, let's say three, for me, it would be like 3 months. And then I probably got to move on because I'm going to either start to feel bad or one of us is going to start to like the other too much.
The average.
What was your average, Alex?
The average was probably 8 months to a year.
8 months to a year. So
the longest one I had was 2 years, but you have to like pace them out. You can't
see them. Was the two-year person in town all the time or were they in and out of town?
No.
So to speak.
No, they were here, but I didn't. You know, you also have to pace them out. You can't give it to them like every day.
Right.
Right. Then
you call twice 2 days in a row
when you need
it. Boyfriend,
well, yeah, because then it starts to become like an emotional relationship on top of that, and then you need to protect yourself but also protect the other person. There were many times where I'd wake up and I'd go home and think, "Yeah, I'm going to make him cry." That's not good. I knew it. I was like, this.
You mean on purpose?
No, not on purpose. I just knew
next time.
I just knew he was
starting
lying to
fall.
Himself.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
Right.
Well, it does help. It's very interesting, by the way, and I appreciate how much information you're giving us on this topic, Alex. It helps that you're a cold-hearted bitch. I mean,
yes.
That basically is what this. I mean,
no, you just
like
have
you
to
said,
separate it.
You have to compartmentalize.
Yes,
that's what you have to.
You
do.
You have to act like a guy.
Yeah. You got
to
be.
That's what you have to do.
What you got to
do.
You got to have
two
lives.
And I even had to catch myself in a lie a few times with men who obviously were offering and we were in the mood and I thought, oh man, if I sleep with you, I'm so going to be like planning our baby
right.
and having a great life and this is not going to be good.
Right. Seems like desperation is the key. If you can find somebody, if you find somebody who's desperate, then run.
Right.
But
if they're not, if they have lack of desperation, they don't need to be married. They don't need kids right now. They're just in that part
of
the
life. You want to find someone who's like you, who preferably has a part-time or full-time job.
Right.
Also has interests outside of you with friends.
Friends outside of you.
But you know what Alex said is why she was successful. If she knew that someone, she liked them too much, she would not do it, which most people would not be able to do.
That's what she said.
It was hard. Well, don't get me wrong. I might still sleep with them, but
not as often.
But then I'd realize like, yeah, he's never going to be my boyfriend. Damn.
All right, we're going to take calls on this, by the way. If you have been in or are in an F-buddy situation, and it's, well, what do we want? It's either working out or it's not. I guess we want to hear the full range, right? We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. And it's interesting, Alex, you're talking about you don't want to be an F-buddy of somebody who you might end up having feelings for. So does that mean you intentionally look for guys that are not your type or have some major flaw?
No,
so that you're not tempted to go there?
You have to like them to a degree. You don't just want to be like, hey, people I hate.
But you don't want them to be perfect because then you're afraid that it's too good.
Well, what happens though too is it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you hang out with them a lot and you sleep with them a lot, they start to become more attractive to you.
Right.
So again, you have to pace it out.
To pick somebody that is repulsive to you. Like when you and Bean were F buddies. Remember that? A couple of years?
Oh, he was texting me all the time.
Yeah.
Needy. Oh, you call me back.
He's too needy, right? And you don't want needy.
No.
1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. We're going to take your calls in a minute. All right. One final question before the break, because everything you've described makes me think that the perfect man for you is a married man. Do you have a policy on that?
Ooh, yeah, not a fan.
No. Bean brings that up because of it's safer from the commitment standpoint because he's already committed.
And
so
you can't
now
get involved, right?
True. However, I don't know. You just feel like a D-bag and I don't want to get involved with a guy who has, you know, major issues.
Of course.
If you're looking outside your marriage to sleep with me, you know, you're oddly flattered as a woman, like, thanks. I'm glad you find me
But what do you have going on?
Exactly. And I don't want to deal with drama with a baby's mama or at home.
Yeah.
And yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're making the decisions to stay off the Jerry Springer show.
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. Great, great topic. Great advice there, Alex. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls. We'll hear what you have to say coming up right after this on the Kevin. You know, it's funny. Producer Alex is in studio. We're talking about F Buddies, which is the premise of this new movie with Natalie Portman. No Strings Attached. And a lot of people are calling in that we're going to go to right now, 1-800-520-1067. But all the guys want to talk to Alex off the air, too. What's that about? I can't figure out what the deal
They'd
is
They'd also
here.
Like her to start a Twitter account. I've gotten that request several times
I hope it's cool
today.
We're giving out your number out there.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah, good.
Let's talk to Monica. She's on line three to get us started. She has had an F-buddy for, are you ready for this, guys? 7 years.
Really?
She's had an F-buddy.
Wow,
and apparently
that has to be the right guy,
I think she has
it?
A relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the difference, Monica, between this guy being an F buddy and this guy being someone you're dating? It sounds like that's a relationship after that much time.
He just doesn't spend money on you.
No, not at all. It's not. It's a big difference because I'm not in a relationship, but he is. And,
is he married?
So you're cheating?
No.
What? No. No, he's not married? Okay.
Oh.
So no, he's not.
He has a girlfriend.
Correct.
And you've been his F buddy for 7 years?
Correct.
Has he had the same girlfriend the whole time, or has he had several girlfriends and you're just on the side?
No, it's been the same one. It's actually the mother of his children.
Okay.
He's been with the same woman. I haven't been in a relationship. I was in one for...
Can you get out of your car?
No, what's
the
happening
door?
That?
What is that noise?
Can you focus, please? Thank
what's happening
you.
With that buzzing?
Sorry.
That's all right.
But it works because I've seen him in his relationship, and he's a complete jerk in the relationship.
So why are you sleeping with him? This is totally different, really, than
because,
an F-buddy.
Because he's good in bed, but she's not attracted
but
to him.
But you're cheating with him. Like you're the other
she
woman.
She is the other woman.
Yeah, this is totally different. I'm sorry. It is.
I've never cheated on a boyfriend to be with him, but yeah, he has consistently been in a relationship.
He has children. You should get out and have your own life.
I never want to be with him in a relationship because of the way he is.
So that's why it works for you.
Right.
Why don't you... I think you're too screwed up for us to help,
Micah.
I think we need to move on. Thank you very much for the call, though. We appreciate you dialing.
Use birth control. Okay, bye.
Yes. All right, let's try. Who do you like here, Kevin? We got so many. We have such limited time.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we were saying is you have to limit the time. Otherwise, it seems like
but
you fall
in
love.
But I like either line one or line two because I don't think a lot of people think about this. You have to have a few going at once.
He wasn't asking you who to go to.
I'm just looking.
Mike. Line one.
She's the producer.
Hey, Mike.
I can't help it.
I've had the opportunity to have three opportunities at this, and all three of them failed. They could not get past the six bang rule, which to me is like if it was good six times, all of a sudden they start developing some type of feeling for something more. Like, can't we go to breakfast? Can't we have dinner?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
then you fake your own death and move on.
Actually, it's been fortunate I either moved or transferred with work, so it never had to go through all the drama.
All right,
but, and you have the conversation with them before you have sex, or like you know during the first time. Hey, you know we're just going to be F buddies. I'm not looking for anything else. And do you think they're lying to themselves, or do you think they really think they can do this? But you're just so awesome in bed,
just too good.
I think they do at the beginning think that they're going to be able to pull this off like a guy.
Yeah,
and somewhere along the line whatever, biology, you know, conditioning, something kicks in that starts going back to what they really like or really want.
So you're not going with months, you're going with sessions.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, so we were saying you can only go for so many months, you can only go for so much time. You're saying six sessions.
And especially if they are close together, if you're knocking it out way too many times in a short period of time.
Right.
But I could see if you stretched it out for like, you know, you're only in town and you know, for a month and you're gone for three or four, I could see it going longer. But like I said, in my situation, it was like within a couple months, we were, you know, we knocked boots a few times and all of a sudden it's like, we want something more.
Has that ever been flipped around where you want something more?
No, but I do have an interesting point to your producer. I think the married woman would probably be the smarter move because she's in the position of saying, I just need to get a good banging. I got the security. I got this. I got that. That might be the one that works more than the married man.
Because she has fewer needs.
But
other than just getting a good knock, that's what she needs.
Your deal, Mike, is you just don't want a relationship.
No, actually, at some point I got on with my life, and I have a great wife right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, how about that? And how many F-buddies do you have at the same time?
No, I have nobody in my life.
Oh, all right. I'm just asking. All right.
I do
Thank
like
you
the six,
very much.
The six-bang rule is pretty good, actually.
Not a bad idea.
Okay. Yeah. Good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Caitlin, by the way. She's on line 7, and she's got a great idea when you're shopping around for that F-buddy of where you ought to look. Hi,
Ooh,
Caitlin.
Like
thanks, for
ha-
thanks for hanging
Hi.
On. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
How do you find these people?
I usually like to just use ex-boyfriends.
There you go.
So somebody you broke up with, you call back and say, hey, I don't want the whole package, but I'd like to order a la carte.
Exactly. If you have somebody that you're on good terms with and you know what you're getting into, then, hey, why not?
And when you have done that, it has not rekindled those old feelings of back when you two were together and you haven't thought, hey, maybe we should give it another try?
That happened one time out of my experience of many, and we dated again for like 6 months, and then we broke up, and now we're back to F buddies again.
All right.
But it never makes you feel pathetic that like you can't find a new F buddy that you have to keep recycling?
Well, I still have other ones at the same time.
All right.
Oh, there's my girl.
Talking.
And by the way, I mean, I understand why you asked the question, but these could be guys that are great for lots of reasons, just not to date, though. I mean, and they could be great in bed, too. Totally. That may be why she's going back.
There,
so
there are many men I've slept with, and I thought, I could never be in a relationship with you. Nope.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. I think you all have your walking papers for the weekend. You all know what you have to do, right? Get back to us on Monday. Good luck.
I'm Dana White, the president of the UFC.
Dana White.
Nobody gives a shit. Boxing is trying to sell you the fight that nobody cares about.
He is the president of Ultimate Fighting Championship. He is profane.
I don't like Showtime because I want to kick them in their balls.
He is crude. That he is completely authentic.
I love boxing. I watch boxing all the time. My big thing is I tell it like it is, and these guys just don't fight, man. That wasn't a fight. And the Klitschko fight wasn't a fight on Saturday night either. We're the biggest fight promoters in the history of the fight game. As bad as it got, and there's crazy have done. We never did it. We stayed true to the sport. I don't believe in bull. They're the best conditioned athletes in the world. They have to be well versed in boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu. And that's no plug. That's no bullshit. That's the truth. I think in the next 10 years, we're going to be the biggest sport in the world. Bigger than anything. Bigger than the NFL. Bigger than soccer. Bigger than anything.
I wish he would just tell it like it is once in a while. That's my problem with the president. Dana White, UFC president, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Let's get the business out of the way first because you've got a great event this weekend. It's a very special one. Tell us about UFC Fight for the Troops.
Yeah, Fight for the Troops this Saturday night on Spike TV. You know, this is our second, actually it's our third event for the troops. This is the second time we've actually done an auction. Basically, people can go online on fightforthetroops.com where we're auctioning off all kinds of cool stuff, and all this money goes toward the troops that are coming back injured with traumatic brain injury, you know, missing limbs, burnt, etc. There's a family out of New York called the Fisher family. These guys are billionaires in real estate, and what they did was they built this facility down here in Texas to take care of these guys when they come home. The one down here in Texas takes care of amputees and burn victims, and then they just opened another one out in Washington for traumatic brain injury, and we helped them fund it.
It's sort of sad that a private citizen had to do that.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. When I first got involved in this thing, you know, I guarantee you, anybody in this country that isn't connected to the military somehow thinks that we take care of our people when they come home.
Right.
The furthest thing from the truth. The government does not take care of these troops when they come home, and it's people like the Fisher family, you know, that get this thing rolling, and then, you know, people that get introduced to them jump in like we did.
This 2008 Fight for the Troops, by the way, raised over $4 million in the auction, and you're doing it again, and it's going to be live on Spike TV tomorrow night. What kinds of stuff are being auctioned off at Fight for the Troops that people can bid on, Dana?
Well, there's actually, we actually did a car recently, a UFC Camaro that was all custom made, and we auctioned it off at the Barrett Jackson auction. It went for $350,000.
Wow.
And yeah, it was incredible. And all that money went toward this, this cause. We also have on the site, fightforthetroops.com, we have, there's a VIP package where we'll fly you in to any fight you want to go to. And you actually get to come to the weigh-ins with me. You get to sit with me during the whole fight. Full access backstage. It's pretty cool. We've done that a couple times, and the guys who have won it, I've actually become good friends with, and they love the package.
If I win that package, can I be in the corner?
In the corner? I'll put you. You can go in there and ref if you buy the package, okay?
I'd like to be the cut man if I could.
Because you probably do a better job than the referees do in the UFC now anyway.
All right. That's a great segue, Mr. President. Let me ask you about that. In your opinion, one of your lightweights who's on the bill that everybody's excited about, the guy is unbelievable. 11-1 is Evan Dunham. He's fighting for you tomorrow night. You think he should be undefeated. I didn't see that fight. What was the big beef you have with the fight he lost?
Yeah, he is undefeated. And the kid that he fought, Sean Sherk, has been in the UFC for a long time. I respect him. I like him. I have a great relationship with him. He did not win that fight that night. And that was the judging. You know, this sport's still so young, we have a lot of problems with judging and reffing. And what a lot of people don't understand is we're basically overseen by the government. The government comes in and regulates us, just like professional boxing.
Is that right?
They pick the refs, the judges. They make sure that the doctors are there. They make sure that the fighters get paid, et cetera, et cetera. But the reffing and judging is so bad. This kid absolutely 100% won this fight. They gave it to Sean Sherk. So I look at this kid and still consider him undefeated.
You know what's funny about that is that all the other sports, especially the NFL,
You know, if you come out and some guy was Twittering, I think, or maybe it was the NBA, Twittering about the referee, got fined $15,000 because you do not criticize the referees in any sport. It's unacceptable according to that sport. And here you are, the president of the UFC, complaining about it.
Yeah. I listen, one of the things that I don't like is people don't realize how hard these kids go in and work and how much they put into training for one of these fights. And you know, the difference between this and every other sport, you got 172 basketball games a year.
Yeah.
Oh, the ref made a bad call. We lost this one. We'll win the next 100.
Right.
You know what I mean? In fighting, it's only you and another guy, and it matters a lot, not only for the money that you make in your next fight, but your legacy. It does matter whether you win or lose, and that record does matter.
Now, is there some kind of recourse? I mean, do you have any kind of way of saying this particular ref is worse than most? Here are all the reasons why. Is there an appeal?
Oh, yeah. I say it all the time.
But, I mean, do they listen?
They don't.
No. All right.
This is the voice of Dana White, by the way, president of the UFC, talking about Fight for the Troops. It's going to be on tomorrow night on the Spike TV network starting at 6 o'clock if you're on the West Coast, 9 on the East, live from Fort Hood, Texas, fightforthetroops.com if you want to get involved in the auction he was telling us about. By the way, speaking of that fight with Evan Dunham, talk about a compelling storyline, and I know that you have really been rooting for Melvin Guillard, but he's a guy that most of us grew to hate when he was on the TV show, but he's cleaned himself up, turned himself around, and now he's, I guess he's showing up for work and really getting done, right, Dana?
He really has. The kid's always been talented. He's an explosive, incredible athlete, you know, but season two of The Ultimate Fighter he was on, the kid gets, you know, loses the first fight in the show, and then he's hanging out in the clubs and stuff like he's a rock star.
Right.
And, you know, he hooked up with a great camp now. He hooked up with Greg Jackson's camp, where a lot of the world champions train, and he's really grown up as a man and as a fighter. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun fight.
Now, he was suspended after a drug test, if I remember correctly. He had a positive drug test or something like that. And you've got a pretty zero tolerance for that nonsense, right, Dana?
Yeah, you know what my thing is? It's about how you conduct. Listen, we all make mistakes. How do you conduct yourself after you make a mistake? Some guys act like idiots, and I don't ever want to deal with them again. And other guys act like men and own up to what they did wrong. They pay their dues, and they come back.
And then you're fine with it because you like to see that that's how they respond to that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Listen, nobody's perfect, and everybody makes mistakes. We're all going to mess up. How do you handle it after you messed up?
Good point. All right, UFC Fight for the Troops tomorrow night on Spike TV, live from Fort Hood, Texas. A great, great effort. I hope you raise millions of dollars once again for this very worthwhile cause. Dana, we love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. You're always welcome. Have a great weekend out there in Texas.
Thanks. You guys are the best. Appreciate the support.
Next time we'll give you the hotline so you don't have to call in on the request line.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. South 5 is heavy from the 57 down to 4th. Don't let a sore throat beat you this winter, kid. Pop yourself in the mouth with a drop of triple soothing Action Halls.
Yeah, kid.
Halls, a pep talk in every drop. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
But like a pop in the mouth. Yeah, kid.
Hey, kid.
8:54 now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. LaQuisha joins us for her weekly wrap-up of last night's Jersey Shore episode on MTV. That'll be coming up after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph is here with the showbiz. What's happening, Ralph?
Speaking of Jersey Shore, congratulations to the newest members of the New Jersey Hall of Fame. Sadly, none of the New Jersey, Jersey Shore cast got in this year.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Yeah.
This year's inductees are Tony Bennett, legendary singer Tony Bennett.
Sure. How was he not already in the New Jersey
they
Hall of Fame?
To see if his career was going to last, whether he was a flash in the pan.
What does the guy have to do?
You don't want to just, you know,
he's
go
been
off
in show
half-cocked
business,
and
he's
put
been
a guy in the Hall
120
of Fame.
Years.
Well, now we know for sure he's going to stick around for a while. The first 50 years of his career, you know, he could disappear. Could have been a blip.
Might they take that back away when they realize he's doing a duet with Amy Winehouse?
Yeah, perhaps they will. Queen Latifah, also in the list. Jazz guitarist Bucky Pizzarelli.
Oh, Bucky. Ooh, he's
good. Oh, I love me some Bucky Pizzarelli. Oh.
He's good. I got several of his records.
Of course you do.
What?
Of course you do.
I much prefer his brother John, by the way, but Bucky's good, too.
We need a beat as a know-it-all jingle.
Thank you, Mr. Know-it-all.
All right, that's close enough.
That's a big... The Pizzarellis are a big name in jazz.
And John Travolta.
Oh, God, I'm so bored.
John Travolta. From Englewood, New Jersey. He is also inducted in the Hall of Fame. John Travolta. You may remember him from his mention in the Golden Globes. Ricky Gervais, I think, talked about
it. Nope.
What? No?
Not about him.
Really?
Uh-uh. Not at all.
No?
Uh-uh.
No?
Nope.
MTV's new series Skins is causing a bunch of uproar.
Guess who's upset about Skins, Kevin? Any guesses?
Parents Television Council?
The PTC has come out against the show, which features a bunch of hard-partying, drug-taking, sexually active teenagers.
I was shocked. I was on the MTV when it came on, and I was shocked to see a mature warning.
It's pretty risky.
On MTV. Risque, you mean?
No, risky.
Oh, risky. Oh,
it's a risky move for MTV to put that show on, given the fact they've already been under the microscope with Jersey Shore and some of their other programming, including Teen Mom.
And as I understand, Ralph, the real controversy here is these are actual teenagers. They didn't hire 24-year-old actors to play 16-year-olds. They got 16-year-olds doing all this stuff, right?
Yeah. They get naked and do a lot of drugs. They have asked, this is the Parents Television Council, by the way, they have asked for a federal investigation into the show for child pornography. Because as Bean mentioned, many of the actors are under age of 18.
Yeah, well.
But they're not actually boning, as far as I can tell. I mean, it's still a drama. It's fiction.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
There are movies that have people under 18 doing stuff like that.
Maybe in your house, but I don't rent those kind of things. New York Times says MTV bigwigs have ordered the producers to tame down future episodes.
Boo.
Specifically one airing on Monday, January the 31st, in which a 17-year-old takes a Viagra and then is shown from behind running butt naked down the street with a flagrant erection.
Good band.
Flagrant erection.
They're hot.
So, well done, Parents Television Council. You've now insured another couple million viewers for Skins.
Yep.
I'm in.
They have no idea, do they?
They really don't get it.
I mean, when they come out against something, I go, hey, that's something I need to take notice of.
I saw the commercials for Skins. I was like, that looks kind of, titillating, intriguing. Maybe I'll check that out sometime. Now I'm absolutely going to tune in. I think it's on Thursdays after Jersey Shore. You can check it out.
Right. MTV knew this was going to happen. I mean, that's why they bought the show from Britain, because the exact same thing happened in Britain. I mean, it's a guaranteed hit.
Good news for fat actors everywhere. The LA Times says that there is a movie based on the life of Alfred Hitchcock.
Okay.
There's a book called Alfred Hitchcock and the Making of Psycho, and they're going to make a movie, a biopic about the legendary British director around that time, the early 60s, when he was making Psycho and working for Universal Pictures. And apparently it will show Hitchcock warts and all. Nothing worse than warts on your Hitchcock, by the way. It's not something you want to see.
Got to go to a doctor.
You do. You got to get that checked out.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
I have no idea how that's possibly even tangentially connected. And The Wizard of Oz, you may have heard, is in the works. They're going to remake the classic Wizard of Oz movie, the one with Dorothy and the Tin Man and whatnot.
Right.
Because I guess it's MGM still holds the rights to that script. So they're going to remake that movie from that script. And then there's another Oz movie in the works about the wizard first landing at Oz before he becomes the all-powerful wizard.
I see. So you need to see that one before you see
No, they're separate companies. They have nothing to do with each other. But I'm saying a lot of Oz news lately. Robert Downey Jr. was connected to the second film. He was going to play the wizard, who is actually a Kansas sideshow guy who gets landed in the Land of Oz and becomes the wizard there. But Robert now has dropped out of the project, and they say now they're trying to get Johnny Depp to sign on to play the wizard of the Wizard of Oz. Listen, Hollywood, I understand, but Johnny Depp can't play everything. He can't do every movie you have.
He is great.
He is great, and we love him. We appreciate seeing him on the big screen, but you can't just put him in everything. You gotta cast somebody else once in a while.
And he does seem to have no problem with those classic remakes, too, like Alice in Wonderland and the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, he seems to be the go-to guy for those roles.
Johnny Depp's already locked up to play Tonto in The Lone Ranger and has to wait to see if he has schedules in...
that doesn't make sense.
See if he has room in his schedule to take on the role of the all-powerful Oz.
Does Mike think American Indians come from China?
I guess so. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's the all-powerful Oz.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Nokio of Drew Hill.
Hey!
He's 32 years old today. Emma Bunton, Baby Spice of the Spice Girls, is 35. Charlotte Ross from NYPD Blue and from Glee turns 43 years old. Gina Davis is 55. Paul Allen, Microsoft co-founder, is 58 years old. Chris Gilmore of Incubus celebrates his 38th birthday. But the reason we got up this morning, the reason we've been celebrating all day long, is the fact that singer, songwriter Billy Ocean celebrates his 61st birthday today. And Billy Ocean. Billy Ocean.
Could have seen that coming.
My dreams. Get into my car.
Get out of my dreams. Get into my car.
It's a dumb song.
Then get out of my car and get into my bed.
It's a dumb song.
So fun.
And then get out of my bed and go back to my dreams.
And then back in my car.
Right. I'll take you in my car and I'll drive you back to your dreams. I'll drop you off in your dreams. Take a cab to your dreams. If you're getting a car, you come to my condo. One of my favorite songs ever. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I was awfully depressed to realize there is no God. It was a tough realization because, you know, a lot of people have hope for that, but... Jersey Shore is still on the air.
Oh,
still
how popular. Dare you? That's,
so I'm
that's
just saying,
proof there is a God.
Clearly there's no God.
Answering
I don't
my
watch
prayers.
It. I don't watch it. Oh, that's what it is. Your prayers your prayers beat my prayers, yep. I guess is what happened. I don't watch it, but LaQuisha does, and she joins us every Friday to talk about the new episode airing the night before on MTV. Hi, LaQuisha. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Snooki went to jail.
Okay, that's something.
Yay.
Great.
That's a start.
Last episode, she got put into jail for drunken... indecency in public, into decency, intoxication.
Right.
And they get her out at the beginning of this week's episode, and she has learned her lesson.
Going to jail is definitely embarrassing, but the fact that I have these people in the house that are supporting me and they're here for me, that makes me feel like 100 times better.
You mean the people who are enabling your alcoholism, who take you out to get you drunk every night?
Yeah.
That's the support group you're looking for?
That's fine.
Oh, dear Lord, I'm concerned about Snooki. Then she got to call her dad when she gets back to the house and say, Dad, I was in jail. And I don't think Dad's going to be too happy to get that phone call. And she thinks he's ridiculous.
My dad is your typical Italian crazy-ass psycho dad. My dad's going to kill me, man. I know he's going to give me the rundown.
He's one of those crazy dads who doesn't like seeing his daughter go to jail.
Wow, he's out of control.
What do some parents want from their kids? They want them to stay out of jail?
If you're the dad of Snooki, don't you pretty much expect the worst?
You just write that child off and try to concentrate on any others that you may have.
Exactly.
Just say, but she's dead to me. Oh. I don't have a Snooki anymore.
Dear God.
Her dad was displeased by the fact that she went to jail for being drunken in public at noon. What more does he want from a woman? Well, he can't take that kind of pressure. Well, to celebrate her getting out of jail, everybody's going to go out to the nightclub.
Good, good.
And Dina, the new girl, can't wait to hang out with the boys in the house because it turns out when she has a couple drinks, her appetites may change.
Ooh.
Mike, Vinny, and Paulie love girls, and when I'm drunk, I seem to love girls. So I think I'm definitely going to be the wingman of tonight.
She was doing all kinds of body shots off of other girls and making out and kissing and whatnot.
All right.
But she fell in love at the place with a guy named Dean, who looks exactly like Ronnie, who lives in the house. I mean, exactly like him.
Right.
It turns out this guy Dean, unbeknownst to her, has a girlfriend also, and her name is actually Sammy, too.
Ooh,
it was
okay.
Like an alternate universe got crossed over or something. And that... The fact that he had a girlfriend named Sammy that he was cheating on led to the only actual moment on this series in 3 years I've ever seen anyone be clever.
Wow.
When Paulie and Vinny are sitting there on the couch, they actually do a parody of Jersey Shore. Remember last year when the girls wrote an anonymous letter to Sammy that said her boyfriend was cheating on her?
Uh-huh.
These guys find out this guy's got a girlfriend named Sammy, and they go into this little routine.
What do we do? Like, should we tell Sam?
Wait, I have an idea. Why don't we write an anonymous note?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Let's do it. We'll write it so they won't even think it's us. We'll write it politically correct. So bring a thesaurus.
Don't tell her we wrote it.
Oh, I gotta tell her, though. But she needs to know it's girl code.
Girl code!
So Jersey Shore has people on it making fun of last season's Jersey Shore. That's what's happening here. Wow.
That's like looking in a mirror with a mirror behind you. It's like 9 million copies.
I don't know whether you're reviewing Inception or Fringe or what's going on in this week's episode.
Now, JWoww's got a boyfriend back home named Tom, but they ain't getting along. So she starts hanging around with this big guy named Roger behind Tom's back. And, of course, as far as JWoww's concerned, it's Tom's fault.
I honestly feel at this point like Tom kind of pushed me into Roger's arms. Like, he just pushed me away to the point where I want to see where it goes with Roger. And I'm fed up with Tom not caring anymore, but expects me to stick around.
It's Tom's fault, who's 100 miles away. It's right. his fault that she is banging some other guy. Because he pushed her into his arms.
That makes sense.
I think Tom pushed our hips together, too. And then pushed our faces together. Well, Snooki, now that she's out of the joint, is reconsidering her drinking habits.
Oh, please.
She may realize that she has a problem.
Nope.
And luckily, she's got good girlfriends in that house she can share with who will lend support and help her recognize that she needs some help.
Are you really not going to drink, though? I mean, I've heard you say this before.
I know, but, like, everything that just happened, that's like a wake-up call.
Take it one day at a time. On Thursday night, want a glass of Pinot. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. I think Pinot's okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Pregnant people do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How did they get their information?
All the pregnant people drink Pinot Noir.
These are the brightest women I've ever heard.
It's good for the baby.
And LaQuisha, correct me if I'm wrong, but the thing you learn right after one day at a time when you go to AA is that a glass of wine is fine.
That's
if
correct.
If that one day includes wine, then yes. Then one day on a Thursday, you can have wine.
Only on Thursdays.
I heard Dr. Drew on your show, and he said all the time you can have wine.
That's not
if
true.
If you're an alcoholic, you just can't drink anything clear.
He's never said that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Snooki falls in love. There's a lot of love in this episode. A lot of girls finding new guys.
Sure.
She's found a man that she really likes so much so that she gets a nervous tummy before she goes out on a date with this guy. And apparently, I did not know this about Snooki, but when she gets nervous, her intestines start to work overtime.
Oh, no.
Such a prize.
I have to poop. I'm getting nervous.
Because you're excited?
Yeah. And every time I get excited, I have to poop. Every time I get really excited, like if we go to a club, I f*** my pants. If we go to a party, I f*** my pants. If I go on a date like this with a hot guy, I f*** my pants. Like, I get really excited. I just had a baby in the toilet.
Oh, God. Wow, is she sweet.
Does she know there are cameras?
She is such a catch. This guy's a lucky, lucky man going on a date with her.
Wow, she poops a lot.
She has to poop a lot.
Too much information and man.
I had a dog who used to do that when it got excited, right. When it had to poop. Right. I felt bad, but we put it down.
Yeah, that should happen with Snooki.
That's what should happen to Snooki with her problem. Put it in Snooki Lake. Well, J-Wow finds out that Tom has broken up with her, largely because she's screwing somebody else.
Well, there's that.
So she's got to run home to see if they were living together. He took any of her stuff and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It turns out he took half the money and the bed and a bunch of things. And I'll tell you, Snooki's right there by J-Wild's side. She is upset.
I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything to him. He kept doing it to me. Sorry.
He kept doing it to her. He kept pushing her into the arms of other men.
Didn't she have sex with another guy?
Well, look, you're so picky.
I'm saying, but she said she didn't do anything.
He did it. He pushed her away.
Oh, I see.
He made her have sex with other guys on the Jersey Shore.
I see.
Yeah.
Life must be so confusing for these girls.
No, it isn't, because they're drunk all the time. They don't remember nothing. Have some Pinot Noir. Bye now.
Thank you, LaQuisha.
Just ahead of Ralph and the final Showbiz Beat report of the week. First, though, Psycho Mike, you and Lisa finally doing it on the weekend?
Yeah.
What's this deal?
We're doing it like wild animals.
That's right.
See how she does
on the Discovery Channel?
Uh-huh.
Sweet.
Psycho Mike and our own Lisa May are going to be at a place called the Wildlife Learning Center. That's going to be tomorrow afternoon starting at 2 in Sylmar, California. Yep. What's this all about, Lisa?
Well, we're raising money. They have tons of rescued wildlife there that you can go and see. It's a really fun event. There's going to be food from El Cholo there. Kat Corbett's coming. Also, Vera Jimenez from KTLA 5, if you know who she is. Very cool chick. And we're going to have...
Giant cans.
We're going to have different stations where kids and adults can go and hang out with the animals. And,
what kind of animals?
God, they have bobcats and foxes and owls and porcupines and sloths. And
there's the porcupine with a tainted vagina.
Yes, there is.
Wait, so you will find that one. I love a sloth.
Sloths are cool.
That's like bean.
They have all sorts of animals.
Sits in a tree.
There's a bald eagle, which is super cool.
I'm sorry. That's illegal.
It was injured.
Can't have one of them.
And they nursed it back to... It can't fly.
Oh. It would have to run.
Yeah.
So you can get all the details at kevinandbean.com, and it's going to be this Saturday. That's tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Wildlife Learning Center in Sylmar, California. And you pay a modest fee, and for that you get lunch, you get to hang out with all the people you mentioned, and you get a chance to kind of get up close with the trainers and with the animals at the Wildlife Learning Center. Do I have that right?
Said. He's such a good announcer. Right. Yeah. And by the way, we're going to auction off a pair of tickets for April Foolishness.
Oh, fantastic.
With free parking.
Not that we've announced that's happening yet.
Yes, no one knows.
It sure is.
They do now.
Now.
Oh, all right. Big surprise.
Your shot at Lisa May after Mike's done with her at the Wildlife Center. That's going to be tomorrow, and details at kevinandbean.com. Right now, Ralph joins us for the show. Bizbeat on a Friday. What's happening?
Producers of the new James Bond movie, which, by the way, the rumor had it on the internet this week, was called Red Sky at Night. But that's not been confirmed not by it, anyone not. With any real authority. So don't believe everything you read.
If they named the movie Red Sky at Night and then they didn't let The Fix do the theme song for the James Bond movie, how depressed would they be?
Let me consider all of those options. Right, they named the movie that.
Right.
And then part they one. Don't let The Fix do
right.
it.
Part two.
Right.
How depressed would they be?
Part three with that
gonna,
question.
Yeah. I'm devastated.
I'm going to go with devastated. I think means yeah. right. It's a good point.
Anyway, they're in talks with his real-life girlfriend, Rachel Weisz, to add to the cast.
All right.
Apparently they want her to play a villain opposite her boyfriend, Daniel Craig. So they just have to wait to a certain time of the month, and I bet it'll all be real life. But just it all comes just like play acting for those kids. That's the way that rolls. So she could be the most beautiful Bond villain ever. So we got that going for us, sure.
That's quite a competitive category, by the way.
Most beautiful Bond villain ever? Really?
Haven't there been some hotties?
Do you think Goldfinger was hot, Bean? Did you really have the hots for Dr. No?
Grace Jones?
Grace Jones was hot.
Grace Jones is a dude.
Oh, that's right. It's a dude.
Yeah. No. Kourtney Kardashian.
Glenn Dale.
And Scott Disick.
Oh!
We're on vacation this week. Us Weekly Magazine shows them with their baby son, Mason, vacationing in Mexico.
The kid doesn't have a chance.
Did you know the kid's got his own agent?
Oh, what? My God.
What?
They got Mason, who is, I don't know, a year old, his own agent, and he is negotiating a separate contract for his appearances on the Kardashian show.
No.
So if they show the kid, then
he gets a bump, whatever they negotiated via his people.
They have thought of every angle.
They are money-making machines, those people. They know what they're doing.
That's unbelievable.
Mel Gibson could be headed to jail.
Yes.
Really?
Source tells the London Sun tabloid that the district attorney in Los Angeles has a very strong case against him, and as of right now, they're inclined to press assault charges regarding his run-in with his girlfriend, Oksana Grigorieva.
I don't care.
Well, they believe you go to jail.
That he hit her, right? I mean, that's what this is about?
They believe that he punched her in the mouth. He denies the story and claims she's trying to extort money from him, but they believe there's enough evidence to at least proceed with the assault charges. So we might...
Me.
I can't see why they.
I deserve it.
Why they would think he'd be capable of violence? I can't imagine why they
think. He seems gentle.
There's a chance. And another match made in heaven. Jesse James and Kat Von D announced this week that they are going to get married. Congratulations, you crazy kids!
We love Kat.
Yeah, we do.
I like Jesse James too.
I do too.
I'm just saying.
I don't care.
We didn't ask you.
Jesse's fourth stab at marriage.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Sometimes the fourth
number
one is
four?
It.
Yeah.
Really?
Sometimes it's the lucky fourth.
That's
right?
What they say. Fourth time's a charm. That's what they say. Phrase.
But this is what we were always wondering about Larry King, who got married, what, seven times, Ralph?
Yes.
What's the rush to get married? Why not be with this person and just enjoy it instead of, you know, obviously entering into marriage, which has not worked for you?
Ricky Gervais on Piers Morgan last night talked about his longtime companion, Jane. They've been together for 25 years.
Yep.
Yeah. Since they were in college together. Never got married, but they said, by all intents and purposes, we are married. We share everything. But we never had to take that extra step. What's wrong with trying that for a while? See if that works out for you.
Yeah.
Guys are so cynical.
Jesse apparently, I'm sorry, Kat has already picked out her wedding dress. Jesse announced he will be wearing a Nazi helmet to the ceremony.
I don't think that's true at all.
No. She really accepts him, warts and all, doesn't she?
Being married in Nuremberg, I understand. That's where they're going to have the ceremony.
Yeah. Is that in the story?
Yes, it's right here. Deutschland Uber Alles will be played at the
not true. None of that is true.
Just saying. They like their Nazis for some reason.
Double check.
I bet anything that Jesse James has a cat that looks like Hitler.
I bet you're right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Nokia of Drew Hill is 32 years old today. Emma Bunton, Baby Spice from the Spice Girls, is 35 years old. Chris Kilmore. You have laughed every time I've said the name Bunton.
No.
Chris Kilmore of Incubus is 38 years old. Charlotte Ross of NYPD Blue fame also plays Quinn's mom on Glee. And I was just sent a clip of a new movie that Nicolas Cage is starring in called Drive Angry. And yes. Charlotte Ross is in that and has a completely nude sex scene with Nicolas Cage.
Really?
Who is completely clothed in the sex scene.
Best case scenario.
That's what I'm saying. He's got a bottle of Jack Daniels in one hand and a gun in the other and a cigar in his mouth, and she's humping him.
Airtight.
I can't wait to see this movie.
Wow.
Gina Davis is 55 years old. Paul Allen, Microsoft co-founder, is 58. And Billy Ocean, singer-songwriter, 61 years old today. That is not Billy Ocean. Millions of people are waiting to hear Billy Ocean. You've disappointed them all.
Really?
Yes.
Someone's waiting to hear Billy Ocean?
Many people.
Not a soul.
All.
Not a single
person.
People. Not one waiting. Person is waiting for that.
That's right. No more what, Billy?
No more love on the
run. That's right.
Fail. Epic.
Oh, doesn't that make you want to have a mojito and just shake your ass in a linen suit?
It makes me want to change the station.
Oh. All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We will check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ. We've got Sal Masekela. As a matter of fact, every day next week, we have somebody from the Winter X Games, which are coming up very soon.
It's that time already?
It is that time already.
Sweater time?
We've got that coming up as well. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I am a Negro.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hollywood, glad you had the list.
Roll another one.
Oh.
Just like the other one.
I don't want to go into your man cave.
This one seems to be about to quit.
When can we get jiggy with it?
I need another hit.
Affirmative action was designed to keep women and minorities in competition with each other to distract us while white dudes inject AIDS into our chicken nuggets. That's a metaphor.
Roll another one.
I got beaver fever.
Just like the other one.
Let's all keep it funky now.
This one seems to be about.
Sheer delight, orgasmic jubilation.
Oklahoma City, hello.
Just pass it around.
I like meat.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
It is what she said.
But just pass it.
I deserve better. We are done. Now get the hell out of my life!
You can kiss my black ass goodbye.
All right. I believe we have seen enough. I know the way out. I have been here before. Thank me very much for coming in today.
I'm in love with seahorses. I'm in love with them. They're so beautiful and cute. I'm in love with the seahorses. They're fucking unreal. I love them. I love them. Seahorses. Forever.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita.